It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this prayer meeting Wednesday, the 11th day of January, 2023. Goodness gracious, the 11th of January. That would mean that, my grandmother would be 129 years old today. It's amazing. Born in 1894. I think I got the math right. Yeah, 129 years. Now, hi, I'm Robin. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Madcap Wacky Zany Real-Time Madcap Multimedia. I said Madcap twice. Extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round, and whatever time it is, where you are, when you listen to the podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast, however you listen, be it on Stitcher or Spotify or Podbean or Apple Podcasts, any of the wide variety of means of listening to the program. Thank you. Please, if you want to keep a Brother Deacon happy, like and subscribe and share and tell your friends and neighbors. An easy way to share the podcast is something that Mary Bell did. Just go over to where I post the podcast on my Facebook page and share it along. It sure would be helpful. I'd the more people that come into this conversation, the better off it is. And it, because this is a unique conversation and a unique community. And I hope you all get as much out of it as I do. Facilitating it. And y'all, of course, create the community along the way. Thank you. Thank you. Hi, I'm Robin. Did I do that part? Because I am. And every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, so we say thank you. Thank you to our 11th day of the month subscribers. Thank you so much for being a partial sponsor of the program. That means we say thank you to one of our longest-standing subscribers. Thank you to Tony and Chico. Thank you. And thank you to John in Central PA. Thank you, John. Thank you to Christopher in Oregon. Thank you to Paul from Parts Unknown. And, like I said, thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep this whole effort afloat as we do our best to get nearer and nearer 20 full years of this program's existence. It's really quite humbling. It is. And, the fundraising goal for this evening stands at $780. So, hopefully we'll knock some of that down so that I can keep paying the bills that seem to fall incessantly upon our doorstep. We're sweating a couple now, and, we're sweating three right now. But hopefully we'll knock out some of that. It would be great if we could. But that having been said, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and it seems like there is such a flood tide of day in, day out deluge of garbage from the maggots in the right wing. It's almost hard to keep up with the religious insanity. It is. So we may wind up dealing more with that than with religion type stuff. But you know, that's okay, because we're going to be busy. There's no doubt about that. I had a what moment earlier today. The business with the Biden documents, quite frankly, is beginning to make my spidey sense tingle. Something here just seems a little screwy. A lot screwy. A lot weird. I saw the headline earlier today from NBC News. Carol Lee and Ken Delanian reporting, Biden aides find second batch of classified documents at new location. It's a separate location from where the previous tiny tranche of less than 12 documents was found, which is, of course, is a hell of a lot less than, you know, truckloads of stolen classified information, you know, from down at, what's that term Jeff Tiedrick used earlier on Twitter? Nitwit Nero's trashy golf motel. I guess, well, no, I'm not guessing, the Biden administration has been trying to do its due diligence. We do not at this point know how many documents there are in this second discovery or where it was exactly found. But we know that... We know that the Biden administration is being as transparent as it possibly can, and is working with the National Archives on it. A small number of documents with classified markings that appeared to be from the Obama administration found at a Washington, D.C. think tank. That's what we already know. And now that there's a second group. And this is beginning to stink. And it leads to stupid headlines like this from ABC News. Biden leaves questions unanswered on classified documents as GOP pounces. Ah, hell. Yeah, exactly. Darlene in Connecticut says the documents were planted. That's what I'm thinking. That's what my my spidey sense is tingling, Darlene. And this story was earlier today. President Joe Biden on Wednesday faced a growing political headache and outstanding questions. Really? They were that good? Sorry. After classified documents were found in his former office in Washington. But the president and his aides have left several key questions unanswered, along the lines of who killed Cock Robin? Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reasons for? Oh, well. Forget about it, Jake. It's Washington Town. And it's been a kind of a dumb day. We began with a collapse in the American air traffic travel system, which has led the maggots to begin howling and screaming at Pete Buttigieg, who said that the shutdown was a result of the FAA's concern for interest in the interest of passenger safety, and that he has instructed the FAA to determine the root cause of a technology system they're calling it outage. They're saying there's no evidence of, you know, hacking or anything like that. Domestic departures were grounded this morning till about 9 a.m. Secretary Buttigieg said, "We're holding airlines accountable to their responsibilities. When there's an issue on the government side of the house, when there's an issue with FAA, we're going to own it, we're going to understand it, and we're going to make very clear what's needed in order to fix it and go after that plan." And added that there was no indication of nefarious activity. Oh, you know what, probably. I mean, it's also antiquated. Somebody probably inserted the wrong 5 1/4 inch floppy disk. Sorry. Now, as to the document business, though, oh, here we go. Jesus, God. One of the right wingers on The View, who was a former maggot staffer in the White House, and Alyssa Farah Griffin, she said, "You know, it's a huge win for Trump because it means that Merrick Garland can't indict Nitwit Nero for his having stolen classified documents as to some that were just left laying around." Yeah, exactly. Ralphs wants to know, who the hell left those documents? She said, "I want to be clear that the facts are different than the Trump case. However, I think this is a huge win for Trump. Because if you're Merrick Garland, who's already extremely cautious and doesn't want to break the longstanding precedent of not indicting a president, it's very hard to make the case that Donald Trump should be indicted for this." Okay, fuck it on the documents case. Let's indict him for fomenting a goddamn terrorist attack on the Capitol of the United States on January 6th. And of course, Nitwit Nero's already braying about all of that crap.
I was protected by the very generous Presidential Records Act. Biden wasn't even president then.
Oh, God. You know, sometimes the sheer volume of stupidity begins to weigh on one's serenity. Oh, my God. And, of course, this doesn't take into account the fact that Nitwit Nero engaged in obstruction of justice. No, of course not. And, you know, on the broader scale, in the broader scope of things, we have more George Santos news. The Nassau County, New York Republican Party has now said that they that George Santos should resign. And the weaker speaker, Kevin McCarthy, said that Santos should not be appointed to any major committees. He is, after all, an intel leak. More ethics complaints were served on him today, especially relating to campaign finance futzing around. And now we find out that one of those people who gave shady, dodgy, sketchy campaign money to George Santos, if George Santos really is his name, was someone by the name of Rocco Opedisano. He got run out of the United States in 2019. And then he got busted for skippering a yacht that was filled with undocumented migrants and had $200,000 cash on him, and they were headed for Florida. So, Pedisano has family here in the United States. He's got a brother and a niece, Joseph and Tina. They run an upscale Italian eatery in Queens called Il Bacco. And he appointed them campaign creeps in his Small Business for Santos coalition. Curiously, in his reporting, there are at least a half dozen expenses marked food and beverage and are noted at $199.99, precisely one penny under the reporting threshold. Yeah. Jesus, this little petty crook. Pedisano gave $500 to the Santos campaign in September 2022. He lost his permanent resident status when he got busted in 2009 for firearms, pills, and cocaine. Why does that remind me a little bit of a Warren Zevon song? Oh, yeah, lawyers, guns, and money. The shit has hit the fan. But he says he won't resign. And I have a question. I don't know if Steve in New York is listening, but or anybody else in New York who might happen to know the answer, Lee, Kim. If Joy in Ann Arbor wanted to know the question, answer to this question. If Santos was to resign, would there be an immediate special election called since it's so near, so far from the next House election? Or could there simply be an appointment? You know, by New York Governor Kathy Hochul. Oh, and by the way, I mentioned that restaurant, Il Bacco. Well, the Soros Soros, Jesus, Robin, you need a vacation. The Santos campaign spent, among other things, $4,473.07 on meals and fundraising expenses at by Rise New York PAC, and they spent that at Il Bacco. His campaign treasurer and his sister. Run Rise New York PAC. It's just a little grift. It's a con. And so far, no, he ain't going anywhere. He's going to collect that hundred and whatever $1,000 for a couple of years, and that should set him up pretty nicely. And now even the Nassau County Republican Party are having fun at Santos's expense. Of course, they were right there behind him all the way earlier on now, weren't they?
Credentials to win the district.
So I think you said before that they gave you a conclusive resume that there was some sort of background information you received from him about the district. Could you just explain what was on that resume?
Well, to my recollection, it said he went to Baruch College, said he went to NYU. He later, or perhaps at the interview, I didn't attend it, that he sought a master's degree, said that he worked in finance. I don't recall, was it Citigroup, I think? Said he was very successful, told me personally that...
The other Republicans standing around this guy in the video... Their eyes are rolling harder than the dice in a fucking Yahtzee cup. Yeah.
He had made a lot of money at that age and was successful in life. We got into it, started getting personal about the fact that he came from a poor background, but that he was able to be very successful. Told me, I remember specifically, I'm into sports a little bit, that he was a star on the Baruch volleyball team and that they won the league championship. What can I tell you? Yeah.
You know, you'd think you could verify something like that, maybe in advance of the election. A star on the Baruch volleyball team. Does Baruch College even have a volleyball team? Just wondering, asking for a district? And nobody can make him... I'm sorry I keep coming back to that every time we talk about this little con artist. And nobody can make him leave. Short of a two-thirds vote of the entire body of the House of Representatives expelling him. Yeah, I know. Isn't that just something? Maybe a special prosecutor could be... Don't. This is no place for sarcasm. Hey, Kim. Kim says, I'm pretty sure there'd be a special election, unfortunately. I don't trust Nassau Countyites on Long Island to do the right thing, even if given a second chance. Well, I'm sure George Eastman would run... Would there be a primary? Or would, how would you... I mean, this is a mess. How would you go about selecting the candidates on the ballot? George Eastman and other, you know, and then Republicans or something? I don't know. And all in all, it's kind of premature yet because he says he's not going anywhere. He and his incredibly unfashionable crew neck sweater. What I want to know, says Ron and Raleigh, Don't you worry. Jim Jacket Off Jim Shorts Jordan will get right on this one. What I want to know, Ron and Raleigh says, is did Anthony Fauci off Diamond of Diamond and Silk infamy? Perhaps the House rubes can include this in the upcoming investigations. P.S. How's Jacket Off going to prove the government's being weaponized against them? Seems self-fulfilling. I mean, they weaponized the Congress against the people who are actually theoretically supposed to enforce the laws that, well, you know, Congress passes, but we're in an upside-down world. And, by the way, they are now out there trying to deny the fact that Diamond actually earned a Herman Cain Award. Her actual name was Lynette Hardaway. And Mike, Mr. Meth Pillow Lindell says she just suddenly collapsed and died. And said she wasn't even sick. It was just out of the blue. It's very tragic because it's one of the saddest things to have something happen like that just out of the blue. I can't say enough words. It's tragic. Yeah. A post on Facebook of the Diamond and Silk page, paste in polyester. Diamond was 51 years old. The world just lost a true angel and warrior patriot for freedom, love, and humanity. Diamond blazed a trail founded on her passion and love for the entire race of humanity. In this time of grief, please respect the privacy of Diamond's family, but remember and celebrate the gift that she gave us all. Memorial ceremony to be announced soon. Oh, Lord, that'll be... And, of course, accompanied by a fundraising hustle. Nitwit Nero said, really bad news for Republicans and frankly all Americans. Our beautiful diamond of diamond and silk has just passed away, believe me, at her home in the state she loved so much, North Carolina. Silk was with her all the way, and at her passing, there was no better team anywhere at any time. Diamond's death was totally unexpected, totally. Probably her big and precious heart just plain gave out. Rest in peace, our magnificent Diamond. You will be greatly missed. Well, which is it? Did she suddenly just collapse? Or was Silk with her all the way? And, of course, the fundraiser is to preserve Diamond's legacy. And the Rubes have ponied up $65,000 so far, and her sister, Rochelle Silk Richardson, as Abbott and Costello noted in Who's on First, gets every penny of it. And then there's back to Mr. Meth Pillow. He said that Silk called him Monday night. Mr. Meth Pillow said she was crying. It was very sad. We prayed, and I prayed for her, and we prayed, and we were on the phone for quite a while. Now, Silk is upset because people are saying that the Rona got her. I will not allow you or any other mofo the opportunity to disparage, slander, and lie on my sister and I. Because Mark Lamont Hill had tweeted, Diamond, of the right-wing Trump-loving duo Diamond and Silk, has died. In late November, she was hospitalized due to COVID-19. The duo was fired by Fox News a couple of years ago for spreading misinformation about COVID-19 and vaccines. You cannot script this stuff. Silk went on and said, where's your proof that my sister was ever hospitalized due to COVID and that we were fired from Fox? Investigate before you celebrate. You have until 12 noon today to retract. I think noon came and went. No, actually, Mark Lamont Hill's a decent human being. He said, I haven't actually heard you say that the November hospitalization for COVID didn't happen, but if you're saying that, then I accept that and happily retract. Mr. Meth Pillow said, I don't know how she died. I don't think anyone does. She wasn't sick. So, Ron and Rolly, you're right there. We need a congressional select committee led by Jim Jacket off Jordan to get to the bottom of who killed Diamond. And why was it Anthony Fauci? Doing a very good job of staying out of the Mexican gasoline. I don't even have a bottle here in the studio with me, but oh, damned if there aren't moments. There are moments. And some sad news. This just broke via the New York Times, and for lovers of rock and roll, this sucks. Jeff Beck has passed away. I'd say Jeff Beck had a more meaningful impact on the world around him than, say, Diamond. Do I have any Jeff Beck in the library? God, I can't. I listened and listened and listened to the Wired LP. Okay. I'm just kind of in a mood to find a classic Jeff Beck piece and clack, clack, clack. Yeah, here's just a little taste. God, he was good. No, that's a stupid ad. Forgot to have the volume up. I need a producer. I really do. He passed away of bacterial meningitis at 78. Of course, famous for his presence in the Yardbirds. Yeah, just a few seconds. Damn. Bacterial meningitis? Son of a... Yeah. Oh, and I mentioned Jim Jacket Off Jordan. Well, apparently, he says that... He's along the lines of, you remember the clip we had in yesterday's program of Thomas Massie of Kentucky getting his ass handed to him by Jim McGovern of Massachusetts? And he said, I hope you'll appoint some serious Democrats. No, I think we should appoint the funniest, most sarcastic, most biting, most... yeah. Not to say they're not serious. But Jim Jacket Off Jordan said, talking to, I think, the Hannity job. That was weird. The Hannity job did a live broadcast from the reception room of the Rayburn House office building. Wonder if they paid for that. I don't know. They said this is political and we're going to fight it tooth and nail. Why? We're protecting the First Amendment. We're protecting the Americans. Why would you fight it? I thought you guys embraced the Constitution like we all do, love the First Amendment and the rights we enjoy. Of course, yesterday, Jim McGovern was referring specifically to Jim Jacket Off Jordan when he said, if y'all want to treat this investigation seriously, why don't you start by not letting anybody onto the committee who asked Nitwit Nero for a pardon? Because Jim Jordan did that. We're going to do everything we can to protect American citizens' First Amendment liberty. Sit, Liberty. Sit. Woo! And, of course, the weaker speaker said, Democrats should join with us, not fight with us. We won't play like them. They want to put somebody on the committee. Put somebody on the committee. We're not pre-setting this thing to be political because that's not what it should be. We're going to follow the Constitution. Jim will follow wherever the information takes us, all the way to Anthony Fauci and Hunter Biden's door. The weaker speaker went on to say, Jim Jacket Off Jordan went on to say, this is about the First Amendment, something you guys used to care about, and I'd actually hoped we could get bipartisan agreement on protecting the First Amendment, the five rights we enjoy as Americans under the First Amendment. We don't want to go after anyone. We just want it to stop. Well, that's by definition going after someone. You think there's someone doing something, and you want to stop them. Jesus. What kind of draw spunky on the back of the matchbook law school did you go to, you dumbass?
We want to respect the First Amendment to the Constitution, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, in the universe, under the God, amen, in the world has. That's what this committee's all about, and that's what we're going to focus on, and that's what we're going to do.
Oh, shut up. Go and change your armor. These people. Oh, and well, thank you for checking in, Billable Rick. We kind of needed to know. Robin, I'm so sorry to hear about the passing of master avant-garde guitarist Jeff Beck. I saw him about 2 summers ago at the Five Point Amphitheater in Irvine, California, when he opened for Ann Wilson of Heart. Put on a very good show. In case any members of the family suspect my involvement in Beck's passing, I say, you can't blame me for a bacterial infection. Okay, we will respect your alibi, Billable Rick. Oh, wow, I didn't realize that. Thank you, Alex. Jeff Beck played on Roger Waters' song, What God Wants. Let's see here. Might be able to even get this to open. And we shall see when the ad's done.
That's one of the things I like to watch.
Yeah, that's Jeff Beck, all right. Kind of a perfect song for Prayer Meeting Wednesday, really. You know, the only thing that worries me about a real rabble-rouser, crowd-pleaser like that song is that sooner or later, some asshole Republican's going to use it in their campaign materials or at a rally or something. Dr. Dre had to send a letter the other day, a nasty gram, as we call it, to Marginal Trailer Queen, telling her to stop using his music. Dr. Dre going so far as to say... Well, let me get the quote here, the exact quote. I don't license my music to politicians, especially someone as divisive and hateful as this one, Dr. Dre said. In the Nastygram, he accused Marginal Trailer Queen of wrongfully exploiting this work through the various social media outlets to promote your divisive and hateful political agenda. Mr. Young has not, and because Dr. Dre's real name is Andre Young, Mr. Young has not and will never grant you permission to broadcast or disseminate any of his music. One might expect that as a member of Congress, you wouldn't have a passing familiarity with the laws of our country. It's possible, though, that laws governing intellectual property are a little too arcane and insufficiently populist for you to really have spent much time on. Therefore, cease and desist from any further unauthorized use of Andre Young's music. We're writing because we think an actual lawmaker should be making laws, not breaking laws, especially those embodied in the Constitution by the Founding Fathers. And so, Marginal Trailer Queen got pissy and said, "While I appreciate the creative chord progression, you wouldn't recognize a chord progression if it paraded right past you. Now, I would never play your words of violence against women and police officers and your glorification of the thug life and drugs." She used the instrumental version of Still Dre. I guess this knocks it. You know, she's looking more like she's made of, you know, spackling paste. I don't know. Maybe that was the price she paid to the devil for getting a seat on the House Oversight Committee. Oh, isn't that going to be fun? Jeez. And no word yet on whether she'll stop using that instrumental version. Meanwhile, since we talked a little bit about George Santos, oh, Green Glenwald, you're special. I didn't see this, Flavio. Thanks for the heads up. This is special. People have been giving Green Glenwald, or Glenn Greenwald, some much-deserved grief because of a tweet that he put out. Meet George Santos, the first-ever Brazilian-American and first-ever openly gay Republican elected to Congress in U.S. history, the son of working-class immigrant parents who left Brazil for the U.S. Congressman-elect Santos was born and raised in Jackson Heights, Queens. Richie Torres said Glenn Greenwald was taken in by the fictional biography of George Soros, just like he's been taken in by the far-right fictions of Fox News and Tucker Carlson. A useful idiot. And because any time you mention Green Glenwald, he turns it into a seventh-grade slap fight, he subtweeted the whole thing and said, "Dems have invented this dumb lie that I supported George Santos. I never heard of him." Wow, this is straight out of the Trump playbook, isn't it? Thanks for this, Flavio. This is lovely. Straight out of the Trump playbook. Yeah.
Michael Cohen, never heard of him. Stormy Daniels, never heard of her. God, she's got some gazongas, though.
Never mind, sorry. I never heard of him or mentioned his name until after he won, and then did so once to do my job as a journalist by noting noteworthy true facts. Dems always blame others for their failures. Oh, shut up, Green Glenwald. We don't even know if he's an openly gay Republican or not. I mean, we know he's a Republican. We don't know about the openly gay part. And the son of working-class immigrant parents who left Brazil for the U.S., born and raised in Jackson Heights. Okay. Okay. He's really pathetic, isn't he, Flavio? And Emilio says, we can blame Rick for anything. Billable. Things founded and unfounded. Plus, I don't think it's a coincidence that after seeing thousands of people over the years, it was only after being attended by Rick that he died. Not saying, just saying. Emilio, don't give Billable Rick a sad. I think Billable's in the clear here. You can't, you know, bacterial meningitis will not. It takes less than 2 years, so. Let's cut him, yeah. Cut him a break. A little bit of grace here, Emilio. And there's the New York Times with the breaking news again. Aides to President Biden are said to have found a second set of classified documents dating back to the Obama. The revelation is sure to intensify Republican attacks on the president, who has called former President Trump irresponsible for hoarding sensitive documents at his cheesy golf motel in Florida. Ah! It's almost like the New York Times can't tell the difference between less than 12 documents and so many cases of documents that they had to be hauled out via big truck and were spirited all over that tacky-ass golf course.
No, I know. We can hide it at the bottom of the water hazard. I think there's an alligator in there.
Well, it's going to be a... It's going to be a day. You'll have that. Other, just moving around a little bit. There have been some developments in the Proud Boys trial in Washington, D.C. Among other things, in the last couple of days. What, Darlene? Oh, girl. Boy, Glenn is really trying to impress his hot Brazilian hubby. Worried he's going to divorce you, Glenn? I wonder if he shops in the same place where Jorge did. Not saying, just saying. Green Glenwald, Flavio says, my little brother worships him. Aaron, Matt, Jimmy Dore, etc. Greenwald now has a podcast in Rumble, and it's as terrible, awful as you can imagine. I'm sure it's absolutely unbearable. You know, it's hard to watch people get sucked into cults. You know, the one thing this program has never been is cult-like. I've acknowledged from the very beginning that, you know, being progressives and liberals, we're not prone to, for the most part, well, you know, cult behavior. We don't issue marching orders. That's where the old gag from years gone by came. You know, stop telling us, you know, whatever. In Austin, stop telling us who to vote for. Well, I wasn't. Just pointing out some basic facts, but oh well. Back to the. I could go into some details, but it's better that I don't. It's tough when you. It's tough when you see people absorbing toxic content like, you know, Joe Rogaine and little Benny, why is my wife never gets wet, Shapiro and Matt Walsh. And it's really icky. But anyway, back to the Proud Boys trial. They're doing anything that they possibly can to dig the pettifoggers for the Proud Boys are to try to gin up some kind of reversible error. And it always begins, of course, with jury selection. And so they lost a case recently. The Proud Boys did. objecting to how the jury was selected and the peremptory challenges that the prosecution used. Trying to find the story now. I got so many tabs open, it's pathetic. Oh, where'd it go? Sorry, I'll get there in a second. Oh, there it is. U.S. District Court Judge Timothy Kelly, who, by the way, was a MAGA appointee, so if these fuckers get convicted, they'll probably get, like, 15 days with a sentence suspended or some such shit as that. I guess the pettifogger for the defense was hoping they'd get a sympathetic response, being as how he was a MAGA, the judge is a MAGA appointee. Defense counsel argued that the jury selection was racist. Because some peremptory challenges were used by the prosecution to get to just ditch some members from the jury pool who were just sketchy. And you can do that. Defense argued that the federal prosecutors used their peremptory challenges to exclude five white men, including a Roman Catholic priest and one white woman. This is disturbing. Six of the eight were white jurors. Five of those six were male. The statistics are 75% and over 80%. They're this is another manifestation of the tiresome old horseshit of reverse racism. Meanwhile, the prosecution said, no. We used our peremptory challenges because we thought we saw perceived sympathies toward the Proud Boys. One of the potential jurors wore a full suit to the court. And the composure and other and professional status might have allowed him to take control of the jury. And the judge actually agreed with the prosecution, said having a concern about a juror having professional experience for some reason, whatever the reason is, that would exercise undue influence over other jurors. That's a very common concern to have about a jury. Motion denied. So they're heading to trial, these five domestic terrorists, including Enrique Tarrio.
There aren't enough white people.
Yeah, I know. But the judge has ruled that in fact, yes, the prosecutions can use the video of Nitwit Nero telling the Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. Which the Proud Boys then used as a recruiting slogan and actually boosted their numbers. Timothy Kelly said that the Nitwit Nero's blather showed an additional motive to advocate for Mr. Trump and Jay and engage in the charged conspiracy to keep him in power. The stand back and stand by horse shit goes back to the debate in 2020 when debate moderator Chris Wallace, oh my God, asked him to condemn white supremacists and militia groups. Well, Joe Biden mentioned the Proud Boys by name and condemned them. But Nitwit Nero responded,
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. But I'll tell you what, somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left because this is not a right-wing problem.
Of course, that was 2020. Come January 6, 2021, America would have a, sure enough, no kidding, right-wing problem. A right-wing terrorist attack on the Capitol and constitutional governance in the United States of America. Yeah, Ethan Nordin is one of the Proudies, and his pettifogger is a guy named Nick Smith. He said that
Trump's what he said didn't have anything to do with what my client did, and what his four co-defendants did. And if you let this through, it's gonna prejudice the jury.
This didn't work with the judge. I'm really surprised because he said, well, you know, Enrique Tarrio there, after Trump said that, Enrique Tarrio tweeted, "Standing by, sir," immediately after the debate. And so the video will actually play a part in the prosecution's opening statement, which will come tomorrow. One hopes that they are convicted of everything with which they are charged and that they are sent. Well, what can they get? I mean, if 20 years or so, then it would be nice to see them get 20 years. Don't count on it, though. Oh, hell no. And I wanted to share something with you. There was some good news today, and God knows we need it. Damar Hamlin was released from the hospital today. And left under his own steam. And that's fantastic news. And also today, an announcement came from EA Sports, who creates and distributes the Madden series of gaming system football. And they announced today that they will no longer offer, because this is something you can do in Madden 23, apparently. They have Madden 23 has end zone celebration options. You know, I remember a long time when the first Xbox came out. This might have been a clue, by the way. There was a game called DOA Extreme Beach Volleyball that featured beautiful women who were also assassins, of course. Taking time out from their assassinating duties to just hang out on a little island somewhere and play beach volleyballs. Play beach volleyball. And part of the fun of it was earning enough money playing volleyball to buy them new swimsuits and give gifts to the other girls. It was like a virtual form of paper dolls. I was enraptured. And not in like I said, breadcrumbs. But that's, you know, when all these choices you get, that's what it is. It's virtual paper dolls with football players. But the thing is, they've got these end zone celebration options in Madden 23, and they announced today that they will EA Sports will no longer offer an end zone celebration during which players... And who was the genius that came up with this in the first place? Pretty please. Love to know. In which the players mimic CPR. Oh, my ache. I guess the throat slashing motion will still be cool. I don't know. I don't play it. I haven't played a game system. Well, probably since DOA Extreme Beach Volleyball. Now you got to pick your favorite colors. Mine was pink. God, when was that? 2009, 2006? A spokesperson for EA Sports said EA Sports is taking steps to remove the celebration from Madden NFL 23 via an update in the coming days. I wonder how many people will take the update, or I wonder who will, you know. No, I don't think I will. I want to keep on doing the CPR in the end zone. And, you know, I'll be 60 in a few days, and I'm terribly, terribly afraid that I'm reaching a point. I'm dangerously, perilously close to get off my lawn territory. I don't want to be, but it is absolutely astonishing to watch. How all-consuming, you know, this can be. I mean, I had a Game Boy back in the day, in my 20s. I played Road Rash on the Sega Genesis system. I think I played the first Tom Clancy first-person shooter. And, of course, DOA Extreme Beach Volleyball. Ralph's went and found a page for DOA Extreme Beach Volleyball. There's a wiki for it. DOA Extreme Beach Volleyball is a sports game as opposed to a fighting game, the wiki says. And it details all the characters. Oh, I'm going to take a trip down memory lane with that later. Ralphs, thank you. You've got the right idea. Going back to the Proud Boys, Emilio says, this jury is biased. There aren't enough Aryans on it. Reverse racism. Yeah. God. But it is. It's weird to see. Because the graphics are so much better now. So immersive. And you know, back in my day, you couldn't put a headset on and talk to other people while you played. And scream and carry on. But it is good news about DeMar Hamlin. The folks at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center said that the athletic training staff of the Bills saved his life by beginning CPR so quickly. And I guess the fact of the matter is the CPR celebration actually got performed in real time this past weekend. A defensive player for the Steelers, Alex Highsmith, did the CPR celebration, and it's not an end zone celebration. It was after he sacked Deshaun Watson as the Steelers took down the Browns 28-14. And he caught some shit for it, and Alex Highsmith said, just don't want people to think of me that way and think I was doing anything intentional, because I would never, ever, ever, ever want to do that intentionally, and I never, ever would do that. I want people to know I have nothing but love for DeMar and his family. When that happened, I was shook for a couple of days. Me and my wife, we were watching the game. We immediately saw it and intentionally started praying, intentionally prayed for him. Is it possible to negligently pray? Oh, well, for his parents, the doctors, the nurses, because me and her, we're both followers of Christ. We both believe that prayer is powerful, and I'm just thankful for the miraculous work God has done with DeMar's life. I just want people, glory, to know that there was nothing intentional about that. The prayer was intentional, that wasn't.
It was never planned. None of that.
Who believes that? And the tragic news came within the last couple of days that another college football athlete suddenly passed away. And, of course, you recall that the maggots immediately began hooting and barking and grunting and jumping up and down when DeMar Hamlin went down. But it was because he had the vaccine. But there are... there are people who believe that shit. Far too many people believe that shit. Enough people believe that shit to make sure that we will be up to our eyeballs in COVID. Again. And again. And again. Because Merca, greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, amen. But I had a note from our pal Joy in Ann Arbor, and I wanted to share it with you because it's a profound reflection on what it means to be an athlete. And I was really impressed with what she wrote. And what she said was, I want to share my dad's story with the Horn family. Growing up in the 40s in a poor farming family, his extraordinary ability to run through the cornfields in Texas made him a star athlete in high school. His skill and his intelligence got him a full ride at TCU, where he became the first in his family to graduate from college. Sports writers across the country praised his speed and his promising future. Then, in 1960, Joy tells us, the year that I was born, he was courted by the Steelers and the Packers. But he decided to go with a new franchise then in its first season, the Buffalo Bills. He relocated with his pregnant wife and toddler son to New York. They were said to have a marvelous life in professional sports. Early in the season, he suffered a severe injury to his back. They taped him from his neck to his tailbone to get him through, but it was no good. In those days, there were no million-dollar contracts, and you couldn't just wait it out. He had to work. So he packed everything up, went to collect his final check from the Bills, and in the pouring rain, set out to return to Texas with his little family. He'd managed to get a coaching job at a school in Texas from which he would go on to build a stellar coaching career in that state. I couldn't go anywhere without folks asking if I was coach's daughter. At his funeral in 2017, there were hundreds of men, young and old, who came to me and told me how he'd changed their lives, had made them better men. What we're not understanding as we discuss the horrors of football is that it means something to those who play it. Not just a game, it's their essence. Think of an activity that makes you, you. Now think of it being taken away from you because too many people were being harmed because of it. You've now lost part of your soul, haven't you? The last time I saw my dad, he told me about the sad day he left the Bills. He had never spoken to me about it before. He said he would do it all over again because he loved playing football, period. There's nothing like the heart of an athlete, which is driven by the physical exertion, by the competition, by the achievements. It is exhilarating for them. While I would never encourage someone to play a dangerous sport, neither would I forbid it if that is where their heart is. My own young adult son has been a musician from day one. And as a performer myself, I really did not wish for him to pursue a career in music. He's so smart, he could have been anything. But today he teaches drum lines and drum corps, writes marching drills, writes music, and creates beautiful shows for competitions. He barely has two nickels to rub together, but he's happy. Music is his essence. The same is true for athletes. My dad experienced no head injuries, but he did suffer with joint, knee, and back issues for the rest of his life. And he said he would do it all over again. Even the painful parts. Even the sad parts. I have to respect that. These guys are doing what they love, and that matters. Life is too short, and no occupation is 100% safe anyway. Some folks are risk-averse, others are not. I would never wish to climb Everest, but I also wouldn't forbid others from doing so. Some people like to wade, others like to swim the English Channel. I say, pursue your personal joy and let others do the same. Hear, hear, Joy. Thank you for that. There's a lot, you know, that they talk about character building, and it's true. You know, at the in the origins, the very early years of football, it very nearly got criminalized. Theodore Roosevelt's administration took a long look at it because, well, young white boys who were the scions of their family were going off to Ivy League colleges and breaking their heads open playing the newfangled football sport. And it's been a bloody and violent game from jump. Born out of rugby and stylized in this country is prone to do. The entire history of football has been one of trying to the extent possible, you know, in professional sports where ownership is concerned, trying to protect the investment, you know, the players. And it's been a halting and often less than impressive attempt to keep people's bodies from being ruined. And if he wants to continue playing, I hope DeMar Hamlin gets the ability to return to the game he loves. We don't know that yet. But I'm particularly creeped out by the fact that these dangerous sports, every time something bad happens, there's a COVIDiot there. See? They made him get the vaccine and now he's dead. He could still be alive if he'd just rubbed his gums with some wombat antifungal and drank a few jars of pee-pee. God help me, I so despise them. Jesus. That wombat antifungal is some powerful shit. And by the way, we are past an hour into the program. As ever, I have no real idea how many people are listening, or where, or how. And I kind of like it that way. I don't like trying to peer beyond the footlights and see how many people are in the house. But however many people are in the house, this program has to be funded in order to function. And we've got north of $700 to raise on this prayer meeting Wednesday. The deacons got the night off. They weren't much interested to come in coming to the fellowship hall now that I'm eating a restricted diet and the little old blue-haired ladies and little old blue-haired man and little old blue-haired non-binaries are back there in the kitchen trying not to tempt me. I was up at the Wiggling Pig over the weekend, and they made chicken and dumplings. And the lady in the kitchen there said, "You want some?" And I said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I said, "If I eat them chicken and dumplings, I'll have to crush up three metformins and snort them off a mirror." I didn't know when she was going to stop laughing. That was, she got the biggest kick out of it. But I did get a little taste, and they was good. But anyway, that being the case, the deacons are off tonight. All there was for dessert was a couple of warmed-over molasses cookies. So I'll just ask, if you haven't kicked in a while, it'd be great if you did. I hate doing this. You would be surprised how much time I spend sitting just going, you know. It'd be so nice if there was some other way. And for almost 20 years, I've been trying to figure out another way. And I have yet to figure it out. But we could probably knock some of this down before one or another or two or three different organizations comes knocking on my door to make some sort of disaster transpire. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs. You're always there. Thank you. I appreciate you so much. How about some folks giving Ralph some love and jumping in alongside of her to help cut into this $780 fundraising hole? It's now $770. Hi, Megan. You know, you need to tell us how the studies are going. We've been rooting for you all along. Megan says, "Oh, Robin, you forgot drinking bleach and hand sanitizer and sticking a flashlight up your butt for UV rays to cure yourself of COVID-19. It's all, Megan, it's all so much complicated medicine. I mean, I can handle the idea if you get a jab and then, you know, maybe you don't get a disease and die, but I don't know how much pee to drink. I don't know how much, I don't know how much bleach to put in the enema. And frankly, the UV lights, I mean, do you need a light that you charge with a USB cable, or is it okay if you use probably AAA batteries? And diameter is a thing, of course. Thanks, Megan. Little update on Brian Koberger, the Moscow, Idaho slasher. Has anybody called him the Moscow slasher yet? I have. Well, journalists have been combing around the area, the country really, trying to find people who had had previous interactions with Brian Koberger, because we like for our mass murderers to have things in their past that make them look like mass murderers that just we somehow sort of kind of missed. It's one of those human behavior things. In point of fact, I mentioned the other night that he would frequent a brew pub. There where he lived and went to school, undergrad and master's degree in Pennsylvania. And he'd get a couple of beers in him and get all inappropriate with the women servers in the brew pub, and they had notes about him in their computer system. You know, watch this guy after he gets a couple of it. So the Daily Beast found a young woman named Haley Willette. She said she went out on a date because they matched on Tinder. They went to a movie, I guess. Back in 2015, and she was still in college when she went on a date with Brian Koberger, Haley Willette was. And they went to the movies. She was a student at Penn State Hazleton. And after the movie, they went back to her dorm room. Don't take them back to your dorm room, and don't go upstairs in the fraternity house, okay? It's just basic rules. Once he got to the dorm room, she said he started being really pushy about coming up with her to watch another movie. She said he was really polite and nice during the date, but then he completely changed gears once they got in her room at the dorm. She continued, telling the Daily Beast, he just seemed very different. Definitely felt uncomfortable when he decided he needed to wait outside of the bathroom for me. So while she was in the bathroom, she pretended to loudly throw up. And after an hour or so of him being gone, he messaged me and said, I had good birthing hips and I just never messaged back. And as soon as I saw his mugshot, I knew he just has an unforgettable face. Good birthing hips. Not that I would suggest that you do anything along these lines, but if you were to go and wander around in the seedy manosphere, men's rights, incel portions of the internet, you'll find a lot of references to things like birthing hips. This really is a gross and terrifying phenomenon in this country. Police have also said that the three murdered women did not know him, and he was his cell phone pinged repeatedly. He went back to the scene of the crime afterward, or at least his phone was there. He had a tendency to harass women generally. This is just conduct that's all too common. You know, they're either mass murderers, well, mass shooters, slashers. And I guess we'll watch this thing unfold. The families will never be the same. Ethan Chapin, Madison Mogan, Zaina Kernodle, Kayla Gonsalves. Horrifying. And a little piece of interesting news out of the Ukraine war, you know, Mother Russia's war on the innocent people of Ukraine. Ukrainian information sources have announced that today, Ukrainian artillery sunk a Russian warship in the Dnipro River, the class of warship is yet to be determined. Looks like a patrol boat. Information suggests it was in the delta of the Dnipro River, which cuts Ukraine in half and flows as well through Kyiv. And the Russians are dying like flies. because this turned out to be a harder job than Daddy Vladdy thought it was going to be. They have, the Ukrainians have now sunk something like 17 Russian warships, and they note them in moving underwater ceremonies. Reminds me of something that Winston Churchill, famous English racist, once said. He said, "Hitler has declared that he will wring England's neck like a chicken. Some neck, some chicken." Even though Mother Russia has a superior, numerically superior fleet in the Black Sea, they haven't been able to entirely consolidate their control of that body of water. Thanks in part to the fact that countries that don't want Ukraine to be run over by Mother Russia have helped them out with things like Harpoon anti-ship missiles. And it was one of Ukraine's missiles, a pair of Neptune missiles, that sent the pride of Mother Russia's navy, the Moskva, to the briny deep. And it was the Moskva that was involved in the early part of the war in taking what was called Snake Island, where Ukrainian forces radioed back after the demand that they surrender, echoing, was it Colonel or General McAuliffe at the Battle of the Bulge? When the Nazis demanded he surrender, he responded, "Nuts," causing the German staff to say, "Was ist nuts?" Now the Ukrainians got a little more direct when the Moskva entered, sent their surrender demand. They responded, "Go fuck yourself, Russian warship. Go fuck yourself." And then they fucked the Russian warship later. Yeah, you're right, Amelia. Going back to Brian Koberger, said birthing hips sounds incelly. It absolutely does. "How I'm doing in school," Megan says. "So far, all A's and one B. Got a little bit burned out this summer and fall, but finished strong. One of the classes I took last fall semester was called Advanced Counterintelligence Techniques. It's been the most interesting class I've taken so far. One of my assignments involved pretending I was on a CI team, trying to make a case that a recent intercepted communication was cause for arranging a team to patrol our university to catch the potential spy. I got full marks for it. Go me." Go you, Megan. Go you. That's a good grades cowbell for Megan. So, having Robstered the first half of the program away, you are more than welcome to jump in to the conversation. New callers, always welcome. Old friends, welcome as well. You know the numbers, I presume. Well, not if you're new to the program, you don't. The stress line, which now is positioned where I cannot help but see it. Told you I'd fix that. Sorry, Dave. Is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And Skype comes through to Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype, yeah. And then also attached to the Skype number, 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178, Bob Kincaid Horn, and, of course, 844-THE-HORN. Meanwhile, Christopher in Oregon, one token over the line, sweet Jeebus. I'm not going to sing because, well, we've got a $770 fundraising goal. Trump's twin tokens, he could always rely, a sharp stick straight to the eye. Bleed on, you crazy diamond. Vicious venom spewed from her throat, sound made squeezing testicles of a goat. Bleat on, you crazy diamond. I thought you were going for a Brewer and Shipley vibe there, and then you turned all Pink Floyd on me. Don't confuse me, Christopher. Let's see. Let's clear that out. God, I gotta close some tabs. This is ridiculous. Positions, Jeremy in Vermont. Oh dear. It's not positioned where you can see it. Wait, is that a blind joke between you? No, it's not a joke from the blind. It's literally positioned. Because it was sitting down here in the space between a piece of equipment and where I've got the iPad, and it was easy not to. But now, it's literally right in front of my face in such a way that I can say, hey, somebody's on the stress line. I don't want to forget about it. Welcome to the program.
Robin.
Jerry.
Can you hear me? Yes. Oh, my God. The mistress of the night. How are you, madam?
Ooh, that sounds fun.
How you doing?
Mistress of the late afternoon, as the case may be.
Mistress of the packet.
Yes, the packet passing lady.
I was going to try something with hillbilly, but I was like, I don't know many H words, but don't get weird.
Yeah, it's just kind of a little Johnny joke waiting to happen, isn't it, Jerry?
Yeah, I was like, no, don't do anything with hillbilly. You're going to go off a dark road into the bushes.
Yeah,
I probably. And I have a skill. And if I talk too much about the skill, they'll hospitalize me again. But if I see a picture of a missing child or of an unsolved crime, I can usually, within 90%, know what's going on. And it's not a good skill because I try to avoid that. But when I heard somebody stab four people in their sleep in Idaho, I was like, that's a serial killer. Right off rip, I was like, that's a serial killer. I think stabbing one person is really hard. And I'm not speaking from experience. But four people? And from what they're reporting, I was like, those people woke up and they died in absolute terror. And then I think you reported last week him going crazy in the jail cell.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, he's a serial killer. And I'm sure he has more than four bodies on him.
And I mean, remember, he got into a doctoral program in criminal justice or criminology. He's probably also skilled enough to try to set up his insanity plea in advance.
I think he is insane, though. I think he is. And I looked at the guy. I was like, this guy was tall. That's a good-looking guy. You know, the whole incel mindset doesn't even make sense. If he would have gotten a haircut, some new shoes, and a nice shirt, he could have gone out there and done something.
Yeah, but that's the thing about the incels, Jerry. They sit around critiquing each other for the diameter of their wrists and the slope of their foreheads, and millimeters of bone, and a lot of them are just, you know, the guy who I have not committed his name to memory for a very good reason, but the guy who killed the college girls out in California, you know, no one will ever love me. I'm not a Chad. Yeah, all of that. I'm not a Giga Chad, and he was actually an okay, you know, okay looking little twink.
If that guy had a haircut, he would be a Chad. Seriously. I don't get it. And as soon as I saw the picture of the girls, I'm like, yeah, this guy, this was personal. I mean,
we're speculating now, but he hated that they were objectively beautiful young women. And he,
oh, they were dropped
and dead. I will speculate that he hated them for it because he probably sat around, I'm never going to have anybody. You know, I mean, I'm sure,
listen,
you know, you're a big time Redditor. I'm sure that you've seen this
oh, yeah.
this weird shit on Reddit.
I actively try. You know what? I'm starting to think that Putin is a literal, honest to God, comic book supervillain. I think he kicked off the intel. He's working in so many corners, man. I think the intel, I mean, because if you look in some of the political threads, they're in the intel threads as well.
Well, yeah, that's been that's been established, that the overlap between incels and being recruited into Nazi and neo-Nazi and white nationalist and white, and you know, look at Nick Fuentes, the Mexican white supremacist. You know, this is a guy who was going to Boston University, hollering a bunch of incel right wing horse shit, and now he's pulling down Boku Bucks, talking about how he's an incel, and people are flocking to him, and they pay money to come and to come to a white nationalist conference, you know, the one that Marginal Trailer Queen showed up with, and listen to him talk his incel horse shit. It's amazing to me.
All incelness and racism, and I hate to say this, you fragile members of the horn, cover your ears and stare out the window for a little bit.
Five, it's all four, based on- three, two, one. If you're going to give a content warning and a trigger warning, you have to give people time enough to turn things down. So I think that time has passed. Go ahead.
I got a story. It's a good one. I've never met a racist white man with a big dick. There we go. Not that I was looking, but there's a story here. I used to have a joke, a really good joke, that I got a lot of traction out of until one really traumatic night that I got to tell you about because it's a great story. It went from trauma to hysterical. I used to make a joke that says, what's 12 inches in white? And then I go, nothing. And I'd get some chuckle. We got a guy working at a startup I worked at, a data broadband startup I worked at 20 years ago. I forget his name. But he was like that. He was a skinny, slight white fellow. And he said, well, that's not true. I don't resemble that. And this guy was a guy who went to prison. He had a little black scent, believe it or not. And he was the coolest white guy in the world. He really was. We were a crazy startup. We did all the things. I mean, it was one of the things where I got this. The CEO would be like, hey, Jerry, can you get me some Coke? I'm like, I'm not into Coke. I can get you. And he goes, come on. I'll go, all right, I'll talk to a guy who knows the guy. That has nothing to do, but that has context to this. One night after we had a rager at the boss's house, and I had went out and did some crazy things. I had a key to the office. I hit the alarm, come up the stairs, and my boy is laid out on the, we had some leather couches. And there was some hooker had come by, and they were all half naked. And I'm saying this as a person of color and as a black man. I saw some scary things. Okay, this guy could have made he would have scared Ron Jeremy. Okay, seriously, trouser python. Okay, I was like, dear Jesus Christ. And he was hitting on my ex-wife at the time, and she was into it. And I just got nervous and afraid. Coolest, all his friends are black. That's the story. That's the point of it. You see where I'm going with this?
I think.
For somebody who's going, oh, they're going to screw the whole, we have to keep our race pure has to do with, I'm not able to satisfy women. Okay. Because if you look at the, what was the black guy who they just made a movie about who they hung in a tree?
Oh, Emmett Till.
Just came out. Yeah, the first thing they cut off was this thing there. You remember that?
Yeah.
In the description? Yeah. It's all about the dick, and it's ridiculous. All right? Fine.
It's pathological, and it's a 400-year-old paranoia.
No, it's worse than that. That's what the whole Hunter Biden thing's about. Hunter Biden has a trouser cannon. They're nervous.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Stop it. Maybe that needs to be a bumper sticker. Hunter Biden has a trouser cannon.
He does. And that's Hunter Biden's problem. He doesn't have to do shit. He has a trouser cannon. Women were bringing him drugs.
Quit it. Stop it.
It's true. It's true. I mean, the first time I saw one frame, I was like, dear sweet Lord. I understand everything now. The Bidens are packing. And here we are. It's funny, but it's terrifying because we have a Congress that is not going to address climate change. They're not going to address all the shit. You know what? We're in the last 5 years of where we can fix this shit. Right now. And after this, it's Mad Max. I read something.
I don't think you're wrong in that regard. We are in a time of crux, and we either fix it or it's done.
California is getting a hurricane right now. A hurricane. All right. When I was a child in grade school, I waved my hand and said, "How come California doesn't get a hurricane? Well, the oceans are too cold." Not anymore.
That is an astute observation, Jerry.
And nobody's like, no, that's not important. It's not important that you need a stress board in California. What's important is Hunter Biden's dick.
Well, look, I guess we've moved into the rather graphic portion of the program, Jerry, but the fact of the matter is the Republican Party has a long fascination with Democratic dicks.
I mean, you know what?
Look, I'm not going to go into the particulars of it, but remember the colloquial reference to the impeachment shenanigans of the late 90s were the great Clinton cleanest hunt.
And not just that, it was the fact that it was consensual and she was into it. All right? If it's something weird,
that's
like
the part,
slap,
that, that's the,
you know?
That's the part I'm not going to get into it. About because the narrative over Monica Lewinsky is entirely sexist and pretty trashy, really. So
those two had a moment, and they were just the way they looked at each other. I was like, those two are feeling each other. And if Clinton would have said, "It's none of your damn business. I'm the president. Leave me alone." That's what he should have did. It's none of your fucking business. I wish he would have used curse words too.
Yeah.
Why don't you go run the government, of course,
leading the charge from the media standpoint, now we're down the memory hole, was Flush Flimball, now dead and on permanent pineapple detail in hell. But I remember, I was young then, and I was on the roads quite a bit, and I always knew he was a right-wing piece of shit, but there was no progressive radio to listen to back then. There was no internet radio or anything. So I would listen, dump, dump, dum, na, dum, na, na, na. Yeah. Broadcasting live from the Southern Command, my friends. And it was day after day after day of this great big adipose gas bag who had been married to at least three women.
Who all had that look on their face
and somehow managed to never reproduce.
Yeah, that's very important. And who was found with Viagra, some pain pills, and a bottle of chloroform. I added a bottle of chloroform in there just for effect.
That was just for flavor. Yeah, on an all-boys weekend to the Dominican Republic, which is famous for little boys and for older men.
Well, sex trade. It's famous for, actually, Dominican Republic is Planet Butt. If you watch the pictures, so that's where the whole BBL thing came from. They're just, you can see the African genetics manifest themselves. And he avoided all of that. And anytime he referred to women, it was always with hate, vitriol, and venom.
Feminazis, my friend. Feminazis are ruining America. They're just ugly women who can't get a date. Like I said.
It's not true.
It's not true. Not in the least.
Anytime
he mentioned a woman, it was in a hateful context. He made a 20 plus year career out of nothing but 200 proof misogyny.
I mean, uh, I'm done. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the hate of women. It's been weaponized. I'm tired of, I mean, Andrew Tate is a tree of that.
Yeah, and by the way, we've got some good Andrew Tate news.
Andrew Tate's going to die in prison.
He had a detention.
He's dying in prison.
He had a detention hearing, and the Romanian authorities said, you know, we think we'd like for you to be a continuing guest of ours for a while longer. We'll have another hearing later. Go back and enjoy your cell. You want a pizza?
I love when the world makes sense. What had happened was he hit up one of the ministers of Romania's daughters. That's what the Tate thing's about. That's why he's cooling his heels in a, you know, beside a steel or ceramic toilet sharing those with 60 other nice fellas. He hit up her daughter and he came out of pocket on her. So they scooped him up because it's like when you, in a country like that, when you get, he pissed somebody off. And then all the videos about, hey, I can do this in Romania. I mean, if you're doing gangster shit, shut the fuck up. Shut the entire fuck up. Go to church and make your political contributions. Don't do it like him. That's the other thing that pisses me off. There's real gangsters out here who do gangster shit and nobody hates them. It's all how you treat people. True alpha males are polite.
Yeah, but
and deferential and humble.
Jerry, okay, can we have a moment here? Is there, I mean, we are not, you know, we're not, we're human beings. There's no such thing as an alpha male human.
The alpha males are selfless. The type of, the guy, the original story, the little boy who put his finger in the dike, boy, that's funny. That's always made me chuckle. And it got stuck. But come on, that was cowboy.
Jerry.
Give me a gnur. The joke is someone who's selfish, who looks around, all right? You know what? I'm not supposed to. You're not supposed to do this, but I'm going to do this. I was on a bus a few weeks back when we were in a downpour where there's like sideways raining and it's been raining like it is in California right now. And I'm on a bus full of people and there's a guy with no legs, no feet, and a really shitty wheelchair. Okay. And I'm like, this guy, you know, based on the bags and his smell, I'm like, this guy has nowhere to go and it's raining. This is terrible. Florida's cool until the weather happens.
No kidding. You got a note from Matt in San Francisco. You were talking about, climate change coming to California in the form of like, you know, things that behave like hurricanes but aren't hurricanes.
It has a curl to it. It's a hurricane. The only thing that's missing is an eye. It's rotating.
And that's what I'm saying. These bomb cyclones are beginning to look like the arms of a hurricane, just no eye.
Yeah.
But Matt says, it's already too late. I can tell you, our seasons now are drought, fire, flood, and mudslide.
Yeah.
And, the thing that made California so palatable and so enticing was the fact that it was a classic Mediterranean climate. And we've fucked that. And now it's more like South Asia. What Matt's describing sounds more like a South Asian monsoon climate. I mean, this what's going on right now looks more like the monsoon in India than it does anything that we have heretofore recognized in the Northern Hemisphere.
Look at.
Am I wrong?
I was explaining this to somebody a couple days ago. No, you're California's weather has been weird as fuck the last 5 years. It's just weird. I'm really worried about food worldwide for the next 2 years. Everybody's growing cycles are screwed the hell up. You know, that's not even why I called today. I called because Alabama said that we can take you to jail for taking abortion pills. This is. And hearing you talk lately, I was going, you know what? I've been in the uncontrolled, way back in the way, uncontrolled molecule business. And I think I'm getting the abortion pill and the estrogen business. I am dead serious. Same framework. Somebody wants something, the government doesn't want you to have it.
And it's, it, yeah, it is. And it's, well, it's Talibama. And it's astonishing it should be astonishing. It's not astonishing, Jerry, to hear the actual chief law enforcement officer of an entire state say that he is going to use the powers of the state to prosecute women who use the abortion pill, which he has no way of knowing unless he engages in some absolutely Orwellianly horrifying degree of surveillance.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is, you know, this, you know, we started talking about this after, after the abortion decision this past summer. Women, people who can become pregnant, remove those period trackers from your phone. Don't just not use them.
Well, you can't
delete them.
It's built into iOS 13 now, though, too, in the smartwatches.
A period tracker?
Did you know that? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I just saw a commercial about that. Yeah, and it can tell if you're ovulating. So there's something in the subsystem now.
Well, the only way this attorney general in Alabama could get that kind of intimate detail sufficient to try to charge somebody under the Chemical Endangerment Act or whatever that thing that Alabama did was, is to have access to when a woman's period is.
They can tell that by
the interval.
They can tell
is.
That by your temperature, body temperature. You can track a period by body temperature. Oh, yes, you can. You can track all of that if you put a hard enough AI on it. Yes, you can. And especially if you bundle it with searches. There is no privacy. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And it's terrifying. These are of a piece. Understand this, Jerry. These are of a piece. These are not separate issues. In the litigation over the legislation that Alabama passed last year that criminalizes doctors for providing care to transgender youth, and bear in mind, under the age of 16, we're only talking about puberty blockers, counseling, things like that. I hate that I have to reiterate it, but you know, nobody's getting sex reassignment surgery or whatever we refer to, gender confirmation surgery, whatever, under the age of 18. It's not happening. With the possible exception, and this isn't genital surgery, we're talking about trans guys whose dysphoria is so horrible that doctors sign off on top surgery to relieve them of this dysphoria that trans guys suffer as a result of their breasts. But anyway, that.
But if you start the harm,
hold on,
early enough, you don't have to do any of that.
No, honey, no, you can't start the hormones early enough. All you can do is provide puberty blockers, but they banned those too.
Okay.
So with trans guys who have gone through a some degree of puberty unblocked, then, and I think it's happened, I think it's been done like three times in the last 5 years. Anyway, negligible. But what Alabama now wants to do is they've served a discovery request on all the parents involved in this lawsuit, demanding that they turn over every bit of medical information about their child's treatment for gender dysphoria so that they can use it, A, to prosecute doctors, and B, to take children away from their loving parents. These issues, the abortion pill issue and this issue, are not separate issues.
I know they're not. In fact, I have a mean joke. Yeah. I have a mean joke. Hey, guys, forget about the fentanyl and the molly. We're doing abortion pills now. Hey, give me those bottles of estrogen, too. Is that in a bottle or a pill? I'm dead serious.
Oh, and by the way, this is breaking and horrifying, at least, well, to me and others like me. Trans women, trans guys, non-binaries. Oh, shit, she's going to talk about this stuff. Yeah, I am. Because
I'm talking about this stuff, and I'm a straight cis male.
And
I'm talking about this shit. I'm tired of this shit. And that's what I was talking about, alpha, the alpha thing. Yeah. An alpha male stands up for the weaker and stands up for the unprotected and hates bullies, at least on the liberal side. We're the one who put, and going back to my story, the guy on the bus, it was raining. He had to, this was a loop back, he had to get off the bus and he couldn't push off. I was wearing a suit. I picked him up, took him off the bus, and wheeled him under a canopy, all right, in a foot of rain. I was soaked. And I looked on the bus and I go, nobody's going to help? None of y'all? Y'all going to let me do this by myself? It was like 30 people on the bus. And they all just stared intently into their phones like they didn't hear me. I was like, all right. All right. There were some fake alpha males on there too, though. You know, cut out from the but, you know, when it comes time to do something, when it comes time to save the village, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or save somebody weaker, nobody's there. All right. So if somebody has to tell you they're an alpha male, they're completely full of shit. That's my point. All right.
Yeah. Well, that's right. That's like Nitwit Nero needing to, you know, I've got a very big brain and I've got great genetics. You know, if you've got a very big brain, it'll speak for itself. You won't have to tell
people. An alpha male is the one who sees somebody getting kind of rapey with somebody in the dark going, hey, Mavis, is that you? Are you okay? I left your phone. And he gets in there and he sticks his arm in there, not thinking about danger. Okay? This, and we're going back to the pills. There is, you opened the book for me on trans. And I call it the third sex, is what I call it.
It's
and
not.
I'll leave it at that.
It's not. Let me help. If I open the book, let me
it's
help.
How I, it's how
I know, but let me just
tell
you.
How I understand.
I remember when you first called in after I announced and you said, you know, I'm kind of transphobic and this creeps me out. And I'm so grateful for the way that you've come along with me. I really appreciate it, Jerry. Gender is
fluid. My evangelical training.
Sex is not gender and gender is not sex. We're talking about gender over
I've
here.
I've learned that from you.
Yeah. So. No, it's not a third sex. There are multiple genders, okay? But I'm happy with the binary. I'm just a woman. And left everything else behind, and I'm very happy that way. It's what I've always been. I did not become. I have always been. I've made my body a little bit more like my heart, mind, and soul, if you will. But anyway, let me back up for just a minute. You were talking about helping someone off of the bus. You reminded me of something that I've seen in the last couple of days. I know Matt in San Francisco will probably know exactly where this is because Matt in San Francisco is our official knower of all things San Francisco because Matt is a native and Matt loves his city. And so somewhere in San Francisco, there is a bar, and the bar is called Barbarossa. And it's been there a while. It's apparently a good
bar. I had one of those.
Yeah, it's just called Barbarossa. It's just called Barbarossa.
Okay.
And next to Barbarossa is a Tony antique shop that's been there for 40 years or more. Video has emerged in the last couple of days showing the guy from the antique store standing outside, and he's actually standing in front of Barbarossa, which led a lot of people to think that Barbarossa was the problem. It wasn't. But he's standing in front of Barbarossa. There is a homeless woman seated with her back to a tree on the sidewalk. And this old, white-haired, bearded white guy comes out with a garden hose with a sprayer on it.
Yeah, I know. I've heard, yeah.
And,
cold too, I think.
And stands there and proceeds to relentlessly hose down the homeless woman.
And these people call themselves Christians.
It is sickening to behold. He's the owner.
He's called himself Christian.
Yeah, he's the owner of an art gallery. I don't know if he's Christian or not, but he is a he is certainly vicious. He is sadistic, and he should be. Well, one would hope there's some sort of a crime. He is. His name is Collier Gwynn, which immediately gave me a case of the howling creeps because that's a very old Welsh name, and one of my multi-great grandfather's name was Salathiel Gwynn. So, yeah, I don't want to see. Well, I don't want to compare his 23andMe and me, but he is the owner of Foster Gwynn Art and Antiques in San Francisco.
Fuck that guy.
And when he was confronted, he was not the least bit contrite, saying that, you know, this homeless woman who was probably experiencing behavioral health difficulties had a duty to leave when he hosed her down. Or actually, she had a duty to leave when he told her, by God, to leave, because he's Collier Gwynn and he owns an art gallery in San Francisco. It's absolutely sickening. And if the fucker was to be driven out of business and driven out of San Francisco, it would not bother me in the least. I mean, what makes somebody be that way?
You know what? This is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. The simulation is ending, folks. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And everybody's showing their ass. And it's sad. Let me get back to this trans point.
Okay.
We've got a lot to cover here. You opened the book on trans for me. And what blew my mind, here's another trans superstar online. And it took me like 3 weeks to figure out they were trans. You may have heard of them. Renoa Poison?
Not familiar.
She's on YouTube. She busts scammers, right? She busts Indian scammers. And out of all the people who do that, she's the best. And I was listening to her, and I thought she was a woman. I was like, wait a second. I noticed something. Just, you know, when she turned her head, I was like, no, she used to be male. I think she's, but she caught it early enough to where she had all the right chemicals and everything else like that. And the way she smiled, I was like, men don't smile like that. She is indeed, there's a woman inside there. And she runs it. She's amazing. She really is. She, where all the other anti-scammers come in with ego and fire and vitriol, she plays dumb and stupid, and she uses the Indians of basically hate and disrespect of women against them, and she destroys them. She destroys computers. She blows viruses. She is great. And I thought about her. I go, what would happen to her if she lost access to her medications? Oh, my God. What a terrible, fucking awful thing that is. It has nothing to do with me. I don't have a dog in that fight, but I felt something. She reminded me of you. I mean, where would you have been if 30 years ago you, actually, it'd be more like, just based on what you've told me and what I know, I would imagine she started getting hormone blockers at about 16. She's about 24, 25 years old, but you really can't tell.
No, and I'm never going to be able to enjoy that magic.
No, that's the thing. That's the thing. Once testosterone, I was thinking about you, actually. I think you weren't on last night. That was a recording?
No, I was on last night. It was Monday. It was Monday that I screwed up. I was live for about 50.
Yeah, Monday.
I was live for about 50 minutes, and then everything went to hell.
Once testosterone, I was thinking about actual vocal cords. And how they stretch and compress. And once you hit them with testosterone, they're changed forever.
Yes.
Her voice did not betray her because it was early enough. There was no top surgery because the estrogen kicked in. You didn't tell me. Is the estrogen an injection or is it a pill?
It can be a pill. It can be a cream. It can be an injection. Most people tend to
which is the most
Most people tend to think that you get the best results with injections. I'm on pills right now because I just can't afford the injections.
Yeah, the pills, your stomach doesn't like hormones.
Well, it's not really the stomach. It's the liver. Because when you take pills, even in the, God, we're way too far in the weeds. I'm sure half the community's gone. See ya.
Well, up a share community. There's interesting stuff. I started them off with the dick jokes. I mean, you know.
You can't say you didn't try, Jerry. But no, what happens?
There's a little for everybody here.
When you do the little blue pills, and you know, there's all kinds of cute little names for them, like antibiotics. My personal favorite.
I like that.
My personal favorite. Feminems. That's another good one. Or my personal favorite, vitamin C. You put them up under in what's called the buccal pouch of your upper lip, or you can do them under your tongue.
Buccal.
Yeah, buccal, buccal.
Okay.
And you let them dissolve there, and you try really hard not to swallow, because what you're trying to do is get it to absorb through that mucosal lining in the upper area. You know what? I'd be really...
Is there a transdermal patch?
Yeah, there's a transdermal patch. I tried them for 7 months. They fucking suck. Okay? I had enough estrogen patches on me. I looked like overseas male. Okay? there was everything on there except cancellation stamps and use no hooks and this side up. But...
You were in a passport book.
Exactly. But what happens is, one way or another... Some of it is going to go through the first pass of the liver, which is hard on your liver, and it will convert, instead of converting into estrogen, it will convert into another sex hormone.
Estradiol.
Yeah, it'll convert into what's called estrone, which is like a thousandth as strong as estradiol itself. So pills suck, but that's what I have to do because I can't afford the injections. And, of course, I couldn't get injections for a long time because the company that made it just quit making it.
But there's no Chinese company?
No.
Is the injection, is it intervenal, intermuscular, or
topical? Well, it depends. It can either be intramuscular or it can be sub-Q. But it's definitely not IV.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to finish or, you know, put a little bow on this. For trans guys, testosterone is strictly injectable. And it's really fascinating that testosterone...
In
transmasculine medicine, it is always an injectable.
It doesn't work as a patch?
No. And I mean, you know, there are creams, but again, for a trans guy who needs it to do what it does for a trans guy, you inject.
The monitor? You have to go to the doctor, or
you get your early on, you'll get your blood work done like every 3 months, and after you're tolerating it well for a while, it's every 6 months, and after a while, you do it like once a year.
So if you were to make an assessment, because there's too much. For men, too much testosterone causes testicular cancer, but I guess that wouldn't be the...
In cis men, testosterone wreaks havoc, too. Cis men get to that point in their lives where they stop growing hair on their heads and they start growing it out of their nose, out of their ears, and on their eyebrows. That is because...
You know, COVID reversed that for me. It's kind of weird. COVID made my hair grow back.
But it's weird.
I can't explain.
But what happens there is testosterone starts converting into dihydrotestosterone, which is what makes your hair fall out and then makes the hair start growing out your ears and your eyebrows and your nose.
Yes.
And it's also really hard on the heart. So when I started, the first thing we had to do, and the first thing you do in transfeminine medicine is you suppress testosterone. You try to get it down to cis female levels, and then you start trying to get the estrogen up to cis female levels. And then the magic happens, theoretically.
What, What country is the best country for this? Thailand, where they'd have the best specialists who could do, like, telemedicine?
You're talking about the surgery, or are you talking about just medicine?
No, the monitoring.
Oh, no. It's just anybody can do the blood work. I go over to LabCorp to have mine drawn.
Here's the thing.
The monitoring is not an issue. It's a matter of access. The pills are relatively cheap.
Yeah.
Typically they'll start when a trans woman starts her HRT, she will start on usually estradiol tablets, possibly patches. I did both. Nothing happened for me until I went on injections, and they also start you on possibly dutasteride, which is great for hair regeneration. It's the kissing cousin of finasteride. They were both developed as prostate medications, but they have the side effect of doing great things for growing hair back. Then there's spironolactone, which started out as a diuretic and a blood pressure drug, but has the side effect of suppressing testosterone production. So that's where the old joke about trans girls and pickles and then craving pickles and pickle juice comes from. And I went through that. I was knocking down a jar of pepperoncini pickle juice a day because it.
What's that about?
Well, it makes you. It's a diuretic, so it's making you eliminate all your sodium. But it also, you have to watch your intake of green leafy potassium rich vegetables because it's potassium sparing, which means it makes potassium store in your body, and that can fuck with your heart. And I eventually got off of it.
Doesn't all of that estrogen put you in kind of like a pregnancy state?
No, your serum estrogen has to go up to like 1300, 1400, 1500 to get into pregnancy territory. Most trans girls, most trans girls, never get above 200 or 300, which is roughly ordinary cis female levels. But the state of trans medicine is an absolute disaster because we're such a small population and we are so poorly studied. We don't actually know what a trans girl needs to get her body to do what it needs to do. And
that's why I was saying
they basically held me. No, not monitoring. Please believe me. It's not a monitoring thing. And Thailand is where you go if you it's a sort of medical tourism destination for some really good plastic surgeons for the bottom work. Not so great on the face and not so great on the breasts.
You think so?
I've done my homework, believe me.
Well, the reason but they know what they're doing is what I'm saying, and
they're a fantastic. I mean, I can reel off a handful of surgeons just off the top of my head. Christine McGinn in New Hope, Pennsylvania, Jess Ting at Mount Sinai, Christine Bluebon Langner at NYU, Min Jun at the Crane Center in San Francisco, my surgeon. A guy named John Patrick Self, who was in Birmingham, now he's in Nashville. He's a freaking artist, okay? They're really good. American gender surgery is the equal of anywhere on Earth. It's just
Like Switzerland or Sweden was really good, too.
But you've got to jump through so many hoops there. European gender surgery is really, really complicated. And God knows, I feel my heart goes out to every trans woman or trans man or non-binary in England and Wales. It is just heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking.
Between old school Germany and Switzerland, they had a thing.
Germany got the ball rolling during Weimar Germany. But I want to come back to something that's happening in the real world in the United States right now, Jerry, because I think you want to know about
it.
I think you want to know about it.
Go ahead.
Because this gives me the horrors because I can see it coming for me and others like me. Yesterday, I mentioned that there's a story coming out of Oklahoma where the Oklahoma legislature has filed a bill to forbid transition and force detransition of anyone under the age of 26.
Yep. That's and, where my idea was about and this selling is, the pills.
And this is a byproduct of the current moral panic and hysteria, because they started out, oh, let the children have it. Okay, well, the children aren't getting it. Not good enough. Okay, well, they can start when they're 18. No! A human brain's not done developing until 25, so the guy can't start till after 26. Well, we knew that wasn't going to be enough, and when I mentioned this yesterday, I said, the next thing, oh, God, the next thing will be that they just ban it for everybody. And lo and behold, today I found out that the legislature of the state of Oklahoma has introduced a bill that says it is simply illegal to prescribe cross-sex hormones for anybody in the state of Oklahoma. Anybody, whether they're and they're doing it by means of saying that all funding will be withheld, federal or state, from any health care facility that provides such care. Okay, so
this is going back alley in darkness, and I'm going to
pass the Oklahoma legislature, and this is going to it'll be signed into law. It'll be signed into law, but here's the point I want to make, Jerry, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to overtalk you, hon, but this is important.
No, go ahead. It's your parade.
As I've said, in the maggot states, with these wild-eyed, asshole, right-wing, bigoted, xenophobic, transphobic, homophobic, every kind of phobic governments, they are in a constant state of trying to one-up each other. Oklahoma did this because Texas and Alabama banned care for trans kids. Well, that wasn't enough for Oklahoma. They had to show that they were more conservative. And so they've done this. And so now I predict that these outright bans on access to hormonal therapy and hormonal and gender surgeries for anybody will be introduced in legislatures all around the United States. And I will tell you right now, and your governor, Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, has already forcibly detransitioned anybody who receives gender affirming care through Medicaid. He's already done that. So this is why Oklahoma had to one up him. But I feel confident in saying my disgusting legislature will do it too. They'll do it in Kentucky. They'll do it in Tennessee. They'll do it. Oh, Alabama's not going to stand for this. They're not going to be one up by a bunch of damned Oklahomans.
They'll do it in South Dakota. They'll do it in Mississippi. Yeah. They'll do it in Arkansas. We've seen this movie before. You know what this is about? You know
genocide.
What this is about, I think?
Jerry, it's about genocide.
No, it's about the weed smokers. They don't have the weed smokers to kick around anymore and torture. Think about it.
Check this out. You're going to love this. Mississippi, you mentioned Emmett Till. Mississippi has introduced a bill that calls for discrimination against trans people. And in the language of the bill itself, the words appear, separate does not necessarily imply unequal. They literally reached back to Plessy versus Ferguson. That's breathtaking. They're citing Plessy versus Ferguson to justify discrimination against trans people. It is sickening, and it's terrifying. And I'm not, I'm not doing this for dramatic effect. I saw the news out of Oklahoma. I'm afraid. These are genocidal bills. These are manifestations of state governments that are absolutely hell-bent on the death of people like me. And my Republican legislature would be happy to kill me.
You can't torture black people anymore, because black people have earned commas now, and they got guns. Black people will fire back, all right? You can't torture the gays anymore, because gay people have earned commas, and gay people have guns, and they have media, okay? You can't torture the Jews anymore because of the Talmud and the media and the fight. And so the last little bit left are women seeking abortions and the trans people. In a country of, what, 350, 370 million, how many trans people do you think there are? 3 million? Maybe?
Basically, yeah, 1%. If it's 350 million, it's 3.5 million.
That's a lot of people, man. Woman, that's a lot of people. And
the Republican Party wants, and the Republican Party wants every one of us fucking dead, including Caitlyn Jenner.
And she helped, you bitch. But that's another point. She gave them. She didn't open her mouth because she has a platform, and she just. Anyways, that's not even my point. My point is when they started kicking trans people and gay people out of the military, there was when they were in Afghanistan, they were like, oh, holy shit, we've lost all our linguistics and our translation and encryption people. Trans people are special. You females and guys do something weird and magical with speech and voice. Every trans person I've come across can change their voice and totally change their personality. In fact, sometimes I wonder, was Mel Blunt trans?
Not me.
I saw a picture of him.
Not me.
No, your voices are next. Your voice is their next level. All right. The trans person, Renoa Poison, does all kinds of voices and to perfection. All right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get
it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you're wondering, was Mel Blanc trans? I get it. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. What was Mel Blanc trans? Because it's shocking to know that all the cartoons in the 60s and the 50s were done by one fucking person. The girl voices and everything. You're like, wow. My childhood is not what I remembered, but there's a, you have special language processing that's innate.
Interesting theory.
There's a way there is, because it's something I've noticed. Like, the guy, Alan Turing, let's bring him out. And they say he was gay, but he might've been trans. He was the one who figured out, encryption.
Yeah. One of the parents of modern computing. Helped defeat the Nazis.
He was a code breaker. Once again, language and linguistics.
Oh, the representation of trans in all industries, Jerry. There are probably more trans people involved in AI, or not AI, but IT, coding, programming. Possibly because, in part, a lot of those companies are friendly to us, or tolerant,
and y'all are good,
or accepting.
Y'all are good. Y'all don't have to take notes. You just see it differently. It all makes sense instead of having to be figured out. And I've noticed that in my travels. There, in any big computer conference, if there was 500 people there, there were 3 or 4 trans people there, killing it. All right. Once people got over their weirdness, they would gather around them because they had information and knowledge to bring. So God made every special flower. He did. In fact, and you California people will tell me this, if you take a female weed plant and you stress it, it turns into a male plant and produces seeds. Life is funny, man. We don't know what the hell is going on. We barely have our script. We're looking at over other people's script, trying to tell them what to do and what the lines to wear and the fucking, you know what? And that in the name of God, fuck you. How about that? God didn't tell you to do any of this shit. I'm tired of it. All right. I'm tired of waving the flag. I'm not, you know, if they start trying, they're pushing y'all toward the ovens. Okay.
I'm glad to hear a cis person say that. Because it feels like that.
They're pushing toward the ovens, and black people, I'm speaking to y'all right now, if you don't think we're fucking next, pay attention.
Well, once they get the bit in their teeth, it's Katie bar the door. It reference the rise of modern anti-Semitism. You know, there were generations of Jews in this country who said, at least we're safe here. No, you're not.
And the Jews aren't opening their mouth. You know, the Jews are staying quiet, gays are staying quiet, because one of my favorite trans people before I knew they were trans is Nicole, what's her name? Nicole, she does a show too. You know who I'm talking about. You've been on her show.
No, she's not trans.
No, but her voice person is.
I know her. Yes.
I remember before she transitioned, okay, Boca Britt.
Yeah, Boca, right? Boca Brittany Summers.
She did all the voices for the Neil Rogers show. Neil was gay and out, but Boca was deeply in the closet because gay people don't like trans people and they won't step and stand up for.
You're not. It's a bit of an overstatement. I have never received anything but affirmation and acceptance from the gay community.
Neil hated trans people.
But I can read it anywhere I care to look for it, that there is a lot of, and of course there's this group that's been formed by these right-wing asshats. It's entirely astroturf. Gays against groomers. You know, just be honest and call it gays against trans people. You know,
isn't George Santos a groomer? Because he had an 18-year-old boyfriend. I think that's suspicious.
That's a little groomy.
Like, really.
But, you know, the conniption over drag is about trans people. Because they're trying to convince ignorant cis people, bigots, that gay, or that trans and drag are the same thing, that trans people are drag, drag is trans people. I'm about as far as you can get from a drag queen. I could never wear those platforms. I would fall off them. I'd break an ankle, and they'd have to put me down on the track like a racehorse.
They're amazing performers. Once I got over my skiviness in South Beach, I remember on Ocean Drive and about 13th Street, there is a hotel, a gay-owned hotel, and they do trans shows on Sundays. You can't drag shows on Sundays. You can't, when they do their show, you can't, the crowd goes into the street and leads to the beach. And it's loud and it's boisterous and the food is great and the music's great and everybody's having a good time. I was always with my LGBT hater friends. So I'd be like, hey, let's check this out. Oh, fucking, you know, the F word. And I'm like, nah, that's kind of cool. And she's not gay. She looks like she's into it and she wants a straight boy to talk. They were insecure in their sexuality. So they would not tolerate it. But I've always been a fan of broken toys. That's the best way I can put it, because you people have no agenda. I know exactly where you're at and where you're headed.
Survival.
Normies. Yeah. They're the ones with the agenda. They're the ones with the subterfuge, the deception, and the delusion. And I got no time for them. But I tell people, my best friends are alcoholics and gay people and crackheads and meth monsters, because I know what they're up to. And most of them, if they have what they want, people go, well, you're a crackhead. No, I'm bipolar. And I say that loud and proud today. All right? I'm not schizophrenic. I tried to rub some Jesus on my bipolar, and it didn't help. All right? Mental health is a thing, and I needed a fucking pill at 5 years old. I knew what I was then. That's our connection. I knew I wasn't right, but I'm from a family and a tribe and a religion where it's easier to say, oh, he's an alcoholic, this guy or the other. No, I'm fucking crazy, and I need pills, all right? And if I have my medication, I can approximate sanity. But I ain't right, never been right. I can be nice, though. That's why I got a lot of tolerance and patience, because you're not in the body you wanted to be. I'm not in the brain I wanted to be. You can't brain surgery or positronic upgrades aren't there yet. And I wouldn't trust fucking Elon with a chip. But with that said, I took my first Tesla ride a couple of days ago. I hate Elon 1% less for him to just bring that to the world. What an amazing, it's a fucking spaceship, Robin. Oh, my God. Do you know Teslas have short-range scanners? Did you know that?
No.
Oh, my God. You can see there's a representation of every car around you. You can even see cats. Wow. If somebody's, like, walking behind somebody's like, you know how somebody at night walks behind a bush and then they step out and you can see them? You can see them behind the bush. You can see cars around you. You can see them if they're edging into your lane, not paying attention. I did the whole 300 or whatever horsepower drop they had come around a corner. I was like, Jesus Christ. It's like, there's nothing. It was like a rocket ship. I was nervous. My eyes were sucked into my head. And I was like, damn it. Now I got to get a Tesla. The acceleration was amazing. But what I liked most about it was not when it was accelerating. When it was just cruising along, there was no vibration. You don't realize how much a gas engine vibrates and just wears you out. I guess you ignore it.
Yeah, yeah, you get it. It was so quiet. You just get acclimated to it.
Used to it.
Randy Radar just jumped in with an observation. Alan Turing is why you don't take a government job if you can avoid it. Because if it goes south, your bosses can kill you.
He helped create AI. I think he created a mechanical computer or something like that.
Yeah, he's the father of modern computing. And he also
modern AI, not computing, AI.
I think
so. Yes or no truth.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not that up on that, but I got to share a note with you.
The term Turing test, and is there on, yes, Turing and anything neuromancer, cyberpunk, is the ability to fake being human, AI.
Yeah.
Not just computing. Not just a display that's yes or no, AI. We all have a purpose. We're all special little flowers in God's little garden. We really are. I mean, the skinny boy who's never been right, who puts little braids in his hair and pink bows, who one day puts on a yellow wig and goes, I'm a girl, and gets his ass kicked for the next 10 years, that person's a girl. They are. That's the most courageous, scary thing. I couldn't do it, and I'm pretty courageous and scary, hence the name.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't step out like that. I'm the type of guy, if everybody's, I drink Pepsi in Atlanta to stand out. That's a good joke.
I drink Pepsi in Atlanta. Yeah, that's the measure of badass. That's out. That right there, drinking Pepsi in Atlanta, that there is alpha male. That's what that is. I think that shit has to be smuggled into Atlanta. But I got a note here from Cynthia out in the Bay Area. I hope you're not being tormented by the weather, sis. Cynthia says 3.5 million people, 3.5 million trans people in this country. That's potentially half the Holocaust right there. And I agree with you, Robin. The pigs want us all.
And nobody's helping.
Hold on, let's listen to Cynthia.
Nobody's helping.
Hold on, let's listen to Cynthia. 3.5 million people, trans people in this country, that's potentially half the Holocaust right there, and I agree with you, Robin. The pigs want us all dead. With all the laws they're passing, their actions speak louder than words. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Anyone, friends or relatives, who vote for Repiglicons and then say they love me, doesn't wash. That pig won't fly. It's like they're voting for Hitler when they know I'm a Jew. Oh, and they're all such great and wonderful Jesus loves me Christians, too. Oh, almost, yeah, almost, yeah. That's not to say that there aren't some Muslims and some Jews and some Sikhs and some Hindus and some Jains and some Buddhists and some Shinto and haven't run across, who hate us, too, haven't run across any animists who despise us yet. But I didn't mean for this program to go here. I had a bunch of other material, but
all right, we're gonna jump ship again, but in a way,
Jerry, I'm glad you brought it up because it needs to be talked about. And frankly, there's some personal stuff about this. I mean, I was talking with Annette earlier. You know, if they declare me illegal here in this state, which is what banning medication that saves my life would do, I gotta go. I got a choice. I can either leave or I can die.
California or Florida, baby.
I can't go. Are you kidding me?
And Palm Beach.
No, are you fucking kidding me? You couldn't pay me to go to Florida right now. Ron DeSantis? No.
Palm Beach, listen, we don't even hear Palm Beach, West Palm Beach and Miami, Florida giveth not a fuck. They had trans shows in Havana. Okay, we're used to that shit down here. All right, we mind our business. Okay, we don't care.
I'd be in the hospital with a
it's
third degree.
Down here. We're
I would
not,
be. I would be in. I would be, if I moved there in January. I would be in the hospital with third degree sunburns inside of a week.
The sun is but, getting hotter. There you no, go. I mean, good point. Well, no, the, realistically,
though, the problem is California is unlivable, and I mean no insult to my California friends. You all know better than I do how expensive land is. Okay. I'm so proud of California for declaring itself a sanctuary state for parents and children, parents of trans kids and their kids who need to flee a place like Alabama or Texas. But that doesn't help me. And I'm not being shitty or jealous here. There's no refugee program for me once my state declares me illegal. There's no refugee program for Oklahomans who get declared illegal, even though we're fully fully vested American citizens. There's
New York, I guess.
There's
New York or Canada.
No, there's no sanctuary program in New York. There's no sanctuary program anywhere in this country. Okay, that's the fundamental problem that I'm facing, Jerry. I got nowhere to go. I can't.
U.S., but that's too far and too hot.
No, I mean, Oregon, Washington, California, love them all. I looked at New Mexico because at least they're not completely insane, but now they've started shooting at Democrats there, too.
This is back to the Putin thing now.
An iron curtain has descended across the face of the southern United States. That leaves me. You know, like I said, either the West Coast, Illinois is friendly, Minnesota is friendly.
That's why I mentioned Minnesota. Yeah. I was going to say Wisconsin, but they've gone right wing lately. Wisconsin used to be a liberal place, didn't it?
Michigan now is entirely a blue government. But I don't know. I don't know what kind of protections are in place there. New York is reasonably protective. I don't know about New Jersey. Pennsylvania's sketchy. Massachusetts would be wonderful. But again, every state I have just named, I could not afford to live in. I couldn't afford a one bedroom studio apartment. And here I am taking care of a family of six. Okay.
You got to hold the line in the mountains then. Buy an AR-15. Oh God! I was joking.
I know you were joking. Yeah. Yep. Randy Radar says try Vermont. No, Vermont's. I can't. No. You know the further up northeast or the west coast you get, the more impossible it becomes to actually live. And I mean no disrespect. But, you know, it...
Atlanta. Also Atlanta, believe it or not. But don't leave Atlanta. Do not leave Atlanta.
Yeah, I love Atlanta, but Atlanta's maddening. I would get killed on the highways, even though I know how to drive in Atlanta.
Atlanta's very tolerant. Atlanta's very tolerant, but don't leave the city.
Yeah, right.
Seriously.
No, believe it. I mean, you know, I've spent substantial amounts of time in Alabama, but... It's too rife with potential for, just a random act of homicide.
My old posse used to talk about the end times and where we were going to run, and here we go. I'm with you talking about where we're going to run because you know when I was a kid, I knew it was the sexually non-typicals that it would happen to first. It wouldn't happen with the Sabbath keepers. They just said, no, that's too dramatic, and. You'd have a bunch of Jews go, what now? What was that about the Sabbath? So that's too quick. And the funny thing is, and I bring this up because it's all related. It really is. All the Jews who voted for Trump and went, what now? What's all this anti-Semitism? Like, you voted because he did a fundraiser in Aventura.
It's Custer standing on the hill saying, where are all these Indians coming from?
They did a Aventura, right? It's like 5 miles from me. Do you remember that fundraiser he did right before the 220 thing? And it was a $1 million fundraiser. He had lots of right wing Jews there, all jumping up and down, and he was telling jokes and blah 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 blah. Well, there's this black guy at my job who was like, oh, they're all pro-Trump. And I was like, wow, wait a second. Don't you know he's down with the, and I can't. Well, I did start something yesterday. There was, I was walking past a veterinary place. And they had one of those dumb, I did that signs because they were talking about the price of gauze and gloves and this had gone up and they had to charge more for some kind of fee at the veterinarian. And they had Biden, they had a stupid picture of Biden pointing going, I did that. And I buzzed myself in and I opened the door. I go, Biden didn't do that. That was Trump's stupid trade war. And he stole a bunch of gloves too. You remember that? Just saying. In fact, Dark Brandon's killing it. I just closed the door. I'm tired. Somebody was talking about inflation yesterday, and I go, Trump did that. He put a $9 trillion hole in the budget. You can't blame Biden for that. And I don't know where it came from, because I'm not one of those people that, you know, talking, it's like trying to dissect water. They don't, they're dug in, and they don't care, and you getting pissed off is made their day. So I try not to notice. But it's all the same thread. And it sucks to watch the empire fall for no fucking good reason other than racism and little dicks putting a nice bow on it. And you know, the whole trans thing, you know what the whole trans thing is? Somebody saw a trans girl and they felt something and they can't deal with that. So they have to eradicate. Because that's my journey. There was a couple of trans girls in South Beach, if I had to scratch at it, but only liberals scratch at it and self-aware and go, what are you uncomfortable about? When you go, well, okay, I was kind of into it in the right circumstance, or if there was enough alcohol or whatever, something might happen. And that made me feel weird. And I had to wrap my mind around that. And I was like, ah, she was pretty. And she was a reverse Uno card. Don't feel bad, man. It is what it is. And then I felt better about things. But I guess that's only something liberals can do. And all the uncomfort and the anxiety went away. And that's where I'm at.
Well, in a way that, I mean, that's what happened for me. I was finally honest with myself and started living honestly. And a lifetime's worth of panic and anxiety disorder just sort of went away almost overnight.
Because I was at a restaurant and there was someone with mid-transition, they were a little thing, and they gave me the look, and I gave them the look. I'm like, there it is. I go, here you go. And
yeah, try it. Do me a favor, okay, nothing. Jerry? If you want to be an ally, and you're doing good.
How do I say this? Tell me what to say. Give me my lines.
Okay, I'm going to do this for you. I want to help here. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. If you clock a train,
I didn't. We just gave each other.
Don't give each other the look. Don't do the look.
The different look that I think you're cute and you think I'm cute. Look, that's the look I'm talking about.
Okay, well that's fine, but you know, never. Hold on.
Go ahead, even
with the best of intentions, even with the best of intentions, never clock a trans person. Never ever.
When you say clock, what are you talking about?
Never tell a trans person that you have identified or think that you have identified that they are trans. Because they are trying to live. They are trying to live safely in an unsafe world. And
I gave a smile of approval.
Yeah.
And a head nod. Like, yeah, you're cool.
Yeah,
you're cool.
Yeah.
And I see you. I gave the I see you. But I didn't try to. I was on some other shit. But I gave him the head nod. And I was like, you're cute. And I looked at the name tag, and it had a Y where this is a clue for me, a Y where a vowel should be. I go, hey, that's it right there.
Well, that can be a clue. I used to be Robin, and my sis Terry used to be Terry. We joke that she took my I and I got her Y.
Yeah, no, there's clues because I'm not a hater, and I'm
no. If we're talking primarily about she's. If she's wearing a she/her pin with trans flag colors, she's telling the world.
There was some colors there.
She's telling if she's wearing the white, blue, and pink, and a she/her pin, then she's announcing to the world that she's trans. But if she's just another face in the crowd, she's trying, she doesn't want to be remotely identified or acknowledged for who she is. I mean, and this is, and this, this applies to me too, okay? I've had situations where, because, oh my God, trans women are better than anybody else in the entire freaking world at identifying other trans women. Because we have picked apart every last aspect of our appearance, no matter what it is. We have analyzed it. We have probably been miserable about it. We may have cried over it. And we do everything we can to minimize it. Okay? So if I see another trans girl, I don't go tottering over to her and go, "Oh, you're like me." Because that could be heartbreaking. It could also be life-threatening under certain circumstances. It could be dangerous. And, you know, I mean, I've had it happen in professional settings. You might remember I was up in Pittsburgh last August for Netroots Nation.
Yeah, at the bar, somebody was freaking out.
No. We were just there, and she was working Radio Row, and I was working Radio Row. And I wanted to have a moment just to say, "Hey, how you doing?" You know. But we passed each other once and kind of, you know, it wasn't even a nod and a wink. It was just an, "I see you, you see me," and it was nice. But neither of us made a point of being together. And I'll tell you a little bit more. The young trans girls who pass perfectly, and
that's my experience.
And
I'm in South Florida,
the young trans
glamorous.
The young trans girls who pass perfectly. The term they use is stealth. They are just disappearing into society, and I would not even allow myself to be seen in their company, lest my visibility cause them to be visible. It's painful.
You know, South Florida.
It's painful. It's painful. It's traumatic. But it's also just life. You know, those of us who are visibly trans are out here fighting. For those trans people, those trans women, trans guys, who are able to seamlessly disappear into the culture. We want them to be able to do that.
I can't,
because that's the goal.
I can't find trans. I can't notice. That's not true. I've identified a couple of trans men, and you know how it gives you all away? The walk. Not the makeup, not the contouring, not the
Jerry, there's no one thing. There's no one thing.
That's the one thing I've always noticed, that when I go, there's something incongruent. It's the walk, because women, natural biological women, walk a certain way, and anyone who acquired those traits, they walk a certain way. Learning to walk is as unique as a fingerprint. Someone's gait is as unique as a fingerprint.
We struggle with that voice and walk and gait, and you know, and being out in public is a constant. It's a constant reassessment.
I'm an observer of people, though.
I'll say to Cynthia out in the Bay Area, if I'm saying anything wrong, you are far more versed and know far more than I. If I'm getting anything wrong, please correct me. But you know,
people are the nicest people I've ever met. Almost to the point of pathology. The nicest, sweetest, most vulnerable.
I don't know about the vulnerability part, but I'll tell you one thing.
The ones I've met, and
I can only speak from my own experience. I like to think I became a much nicer person when I transitioned. Because I was
gentle souls. That's the term I'm looking for.
I was no longer having to project something I was not, and so I was free. I'm free to be kind. You know, when Annette and I are out, she'll say, you know, you're such a nice woman, and you are not a nice man. Kind of hard to hear, but also in a way,
you were angry, Robin. I mean, it's part of what attracted me, because it was like, oh, it's like a liberal. You had the Rush Limbaugh edge, but it wasn't synthetic. There was something there. I didn't know what it was. And I loved you from back then. I was like, I hope I don't find out Robin has some dead bodies in the freezer. But there's something going up.
None of those.
But you know, it's funny. The show that was on, I could tell it was an old show by your voice that wasn't. That's what started this whole thing off in my head. That wasn't. I go, there's no estrogen in that voice. That's old school Bob, and that's what gave it away. I think it was like from 5 years ago.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Oh, you've dropped, or you've raised at least 4 octaves. Some of it's studied, but some of it's the estrogen.
No, the
it's
estrogen.
Too late.
No. Let me correct you. None of it is the estrogen.
You're kidding.
No.
It's all training?
Estrogen does not affect a post-pubertal cis, a post-pubertal AMAB voice assigned male at birth.
So it's all work and
yeah, it's all work. And frankly, it is harder for me to do. It's harder for me to maintain in 3 hours of radio than it is for me in everyday life or everyday conversation. My voice is entirely different from what you hear right now when I'm just out and about.
Oh, God bless you with some pipes, man, or a woman. God bless you with pipes. It's, I don't know, life is funny. Life is, and it's taught me compassion, and it helped me understand the world I was looking at. And I thank you for that.
And you're welcome.
It expanded my universe.
It's good. It's good. I personally believe we get one shot at this, and so... everything that we add to the quantum of our knowledge, our mercy, our compassion, and our understanding is further proof that we spent the time correctly.
Well, I believe, and rounding it to prayer meeting Wednesday, when we get to the other side, if we're gentle, kind, and loving, we do get to the other side because it is our home. You'll be the girl you always wanted to be.
I already am.
Well, there'll be wings and harps and stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to take it. I don't know. Nobody's ever going to give me a halo, and I don't know that I want one. I read a long time.
No, that's not true. You're in the boat, and I'm telling you that as an angry evangelical liberal. You're in the boat. All those who said, just like it says in the book, first shall be last shall be first, and the ones that says, Yeshua, what didn't I do? This, that, and everything? Fuck you. Deuces to you. Jump in the fire. You're kind. You're loving. And you just want to be a better human. That's it. That's it. All this other shit that they're on is evil. And the fucking audacity to call yourself a Christian nationalist? The fuck? Yeshua didn't fight for the Jews. He fought for souls. And the broken down, and the diseased, and the discarded, the broken toys. One of my favorite stories is Jesus, and I'm going to use this just for relevance. I think Jesus is actually the evil guy, because there's no J's in Greek or Aramaic, but that's something else. And no blue-eyed people or long hair. Oddly nationalistic and Nazi, but that's something else. He's hanging about. And some right-winger MAGAs, the original ones, go, hey, this girl right here that we brought, the book says she should be stoned because she's an adulterer and she's caught up in sexual sin. And Yeshua looks at them and like, that's interesting. All right. He goes, Bob, and I'm using that name because you no longer need it. Didn't you have sex with her 2 weeks ago and paid her and didn't pay her all the money? He leaves. Billy. Now, not that I'm going to go into you being a rapist, but you had sex with her, too. In fact, you touched her when she was 14 years old and she was pure. and you help her lead to his life, her lifestyle. And he leaves. And he goes through the list, down through the list. Because it's right, in the old text, you're supposed to stone an adulterer. But she was just a broken toy. So many men had come by and used her and abused her and desecrated her. And now they wanted to stone her in the light. And he went through the list, and then they were all gone. And he went, "Madam, where are your accusers? Get your shit together. You're all loved. Love yourself. I love you. You got to love yourself, too. Lose all these losers. They're fucking haters. Go on with your life. Be kind. That's what it's about. Be kind to animals. Be kind to the planet. Part of this destruction of the planet that they're into. The rolling coal, the fucking Andrew Tate with more first world cars, and I'm not recycling. It's all a hate of women because planet Earth is a feminine spirit that glows at night with green electricity. But planet Earth is a woman, and all life came from women. So get your shit together, haters.
Yeah, there's you read much? You read a lot, don't you, Jerry?
Constantly.
Yeah, so if you never have, you need to get your hands on the Takeshi Kovacs science fiction trilogy by Richard K. Morgan. And there's a line in one of the books, and it takes place 500, 600, 700 years in the future. But there's a line in one of the books where he says, and the guy's name is Takeshi or Tack. And he says, "Women are the race, Tack. Make no mistakes about it." And
I'm excited about the new Bene Gesserit series that I think Netflix are about to push out. You heard about that?
No.
Yeah. They're going to do a Dune series. I think out of the whole Dune series, the Bene Gesserits were... that's where the Jedi's come from, but they could never give the women the credit. They had to turn it into a male dominated thing. You notice that shift and call them Jedi's.
You know, there's probably, look, the Star Wars folks will be really upset when George Lucas stole every aspect of the Jedi universe from somewhere else.
And mostly from Dune.
I remember.
Herbert was okay with it.
I remember seeing the Ewoks, cute, fuzzy little Ewoks.
Yes.
He stole those from a science fiction author from like the 50s or early 60s. Wrote a charming little series called Little Fuzzy. And it's not a kid's book. That title drags you in. But the Ewoks are nothing but Little Fuzzy. Nothing but. And he just lifted it wholesale, and nobody could do anything about it.
Kind of like Stormtrooper starter car.
And maybe he turned the idea of the Bene Gesserit on its ears to turn him into Jedis. But frankly, the Jedis is likely more likely comes from Japanese samurai tradition.
Yeah, but the superpowers.
Yeah.
You couldn't beat a Bene Gesserit, if you remember. They were just faster, stronger, and quicker from training. If they had to go the violence route, they'd rather go the sex route. And that part disappears. Bene Gesserit controlled everyone with sex. But that's too much empowerment for a woman. So that part's neutered out. If you remember, when I think book 4, book 5, The Honored Matries, they were primarily a sex cult. But once again, women empowerment. Women with superpower vaginas. Can't have that. They had genetically modified vaginas, the Honored Matries, if I remember. They ran shit. They were the dominant house.
Many machines on X. Jerry, I got to get out of here. Yeah. It's been a great conversation, my friend. You've had wonderful cell phone service, so there have been no breakups, and it's been really good to sort of wander around the landscape with you, as it were. To everybody who thinks
this is what we do here.
To everybody who thinks
this is what we do out on the ledge.
to everybody, yeah, to everybody who thinks that I talk too much about this, I've been trying not to. I've been trying really hard not to. But these last two things out of Oklahoma have me absolutely quaking in my boots.
You have to talk about it because it's happening. To sit there and to use an old crystal meth thing where if you have crystal meth chemicals in your body or around a baby, you're endangering a child. And to go, you're endangering a child with abortion medication and they'll use it for hormones next is bullshit. All right? What happened to... I mean, I've literally gone to the point of what am I naming this pharmacy? Am I naming it Patriot Pharmacy or Liberty Pharmacy? I'm directly fucking with these people.
I wouldn't get into that internal conflict. I'd call it Patriot Liberty Pharmacy.
Or wait a second, I could go. No, I don't want to piss off the Catholics. They hold a grudge. I was going to go at Mary's Pharmacy.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
No, they will come for you. They will jump out of the tree. Leave the Catholics alone. And I say that in the nicest way. I met Carolyn was a Catholic, so I mean no hate to them. But their administration, they have this doesn't help. Even though their men are all wearing dresses and makeup, this doesn't. No, you want to stay out of their focus as long as you can because they can move the gears of religion, government, and time, and crush you. Don't do that until you're absolutely ready. But they haven't spoken about, you know, they've spoken more about Ukraine than trans people as well, which is.
Well, I don't want to run down a rabbit hole on that. But remember, there's a nexus there. Because Putin said it was necessary, among other things, Putin said it was necessary to invade Ukraine to stop their gender diversity.
Did you see the videotape out of, as you cannot videotape, there's no video, there's no tape. Did you see the video file out of Ukraine with the grenade camera? I don't know if I told you about that. There were two guys having sex in the woods. Two guys, definitely guys, right? And the drone kind of like snuck up on them. It was about 1,500 feet. And mid-act, all you saw were pants and legs fly off. And you're like, holy shit, somebody was sucking something. They took time out of their busy little war to, you know, go have a little alone time behind a tree. Except for a drone, there is no behind a tree. And I'm like, wasn't he there to stop the gayness? And look at that. They're, as soon as nobody's looking, they're out there being gay. What the fuck is going on? You get what I'm saying? And they dropped a grenade on them and they were both dead. But it was stunning footage because they were having sex in full uniform, as much as you could see from 1,000 feet. Actually, it was more like 2,500 feet. They looked like ants. But the head bobbing was pretty customary and recognizable. What was going on? And they were Russian soldiers. I don't know. And it's all the same circle, isn't it?
It kind of is. Jerry, you take care of yourself. Stay safe out there.
Take care, girl. You take care of yourself. Go buy some expensive makeup. You deserve it.
We only raise
none of that Ulta shit.
Hey, Ulta sells good shit. So does Sephora. It ain't no, Chanel.
They have different levels.
But they got different levels.
I've seen the difference. I'm comfortable enough in my well, I think the best makeup people are trans and drag people anyway.
It's drag queens. The entire cis female world is basically doing their makeup now based on trends created by drag queens. I don't know what's
going on. And airbrushing too.
I don't know. Yeah, a friend of mine's an airbrush makeup artist, and it's like wow. But anyway, anyway, you have yourself a good night.
Get out of here.
Take care of yourself, Jerry. See ya. Bye now.
You too.
That was a hell of a conversation. And it was all over the place and covered a lot of, well, I appreciate Jerry giving me the opportunity to talk about things I probably would have left unspoken, but I'm not kidding. This is a scary time to be a woman like me. Really scary. And the West Virginia legislature will meet in a few weeks. And to say that I'm on tenterhooks or pins and needles is to understate the case. Hey, Cynthia, thank you so much for responding. I appreciate it. Thought y'all might like to hear this. All in all, Cynthia says, I think you're getting it right on all this stuff. As you noted, the goal for us isn't to be trans. The goal is to live a normal life as a woman. And I very rarely out myself to anyone these days unless there's a real need to know. You know, I thank you, Cynthia, for being willing to share with the community. And especially with me. Otherwise, everyone I know defines me as Cynthia, not as trans. And that's how I like it. And I don't know how well I pass or not, except that I don't ever see people just staring at me. A lot of that, I think, is just being comfortable in your own skin and not being self-conscious about it. I move about and go places with confidence. That, for me, is living a normal life. Hear, hear, and be in prayer meeting Wednesday. Amen, Sister Cynthia. Amen. Because that is a big part of it. I came to that realization, too. If I'm comfortable being me, it seems like most people are comfortable with me being me. And, you know, all these right-wing freaks, they almost make a cottage industry out of trying to immiserate anyone who doesn't meet their particular... And, you know, it's not just limited to the trans community. They immiserate anyone who does not live up to their cis, hetero, white, normative standards. Really. So thanks, everybody. Hey, Ralphs, thank you so much for making sure that prayer meeting Wednesday wasn't a goose egg. I appreciate that so much. So tomorrow we'll be at 1070. And hopefully knock that down some then. Thanks, everybody. Thank you to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. That's Ralphs tonight. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little program in whatever manner you so choose. It's a heck of a community y'all build and maintain. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Roger this evening. Steve, thank you if you made it in. I haven't been in the chat room, so thank you. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And hey, this evening, Tara and I will be filling in for Mike. Mike needed to be away from the mic and gave me a quick call, so I'm happy to do that. Always happy, and I always enjoy sitting around and chatting with Tara. She's one of a kind. Please, wherever you're listening to this program, like it, subscribe to it, share it, and by all means, please leave some feedback. It makes Brother Deacon Asa so very happy, and the algorithms. Really, I do appreciate it. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop marking a year this year. Stay safe. Get your booster. Get your flu shot. I got both. Wipe down your surfaces. Help stop the spread of RSV. The triple-demic, you know. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. It's masking time again, you know, for us people that have big human brains and big primate brains and not those weird little lizard brains that control so many Americans, apparently. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, you know, well, of course, if somebody If somebody comes galumphing and waddling and wobbling down the street towards you, saying,
"I had the Presidential Records Act. It's much more protective of me." Not like Joe Biden. He wasn't president then, no.
Well, avoid that. Mango Mussolini like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.